Salutations out there. This is the Firestarter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I am TKO, and I got my main man, K-Bag.
What's up, y'all?
And Boss should be along soon. He got a parent-teacher type deal going on tonight. You working on something in the back there, Kenny?
Damn, you can hear me typing on the... Yeah, I'm trying to get my racism set up. I bought an external monitor finally, broke down and bought one of them joints. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I brought that too. Dreo and the monitor.
So.
Yeah.
So Kenny is back home, y'all, for a week or so. And Kenny, you packed your toothbrush, right?
Yep.
Packed enough drawers, right?
Sure, always, absolutely. Probably double the amount I'm going to need, you know.
So. Yeah, that's always a wise thing to do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you brought your air fryer too, right?
I did. But it's so much more. Like, calling it an air fryer is not doing the justice on, you know that.
I mean, preaches to the choir, brother, but
yeah.
You brought an appliance with you.
I did. And you know what the fucked up part is, you know? I got the Pro back home, you know. Or back in Tennessee. I didn't even realize it until I was motherfucking marinating the cod. And it hit me. I said, damn, I ain't got the probe.
So now you gotta go with the presets like the portion.
Yum. I'm sitting there like, yum, man, it's just a regular old ass air fryer, yum. Looking first at it, you know, taking it out, using the, like, you know, the thermometer that you got. I mean, the digital joint, you know what I'm saying? Like, it worked, but the chef mode does everything for you. You just put it in, you just go back, do whatever you're doing. With this, I'm not having to monitor, take it out, like, tip it. Like, I'm like, you know, and it doesn't give it, like, the sear on the crust. Like, it's not the same, you know? That chef mode on that drill is God mode, you know?
It is, dog. It is.
And when you don't have that one little piece, you can't do it. So you know what I did? I ordered Mama Dreo today.
I knew you was going to say that, yeah. I knew you was going to say that, yeah.
And you, it's and on you sale. It's on sale. I got a cold too. Damn, my bad.
Call it cold. You going to hijack that probe, yeah?
Yeah. So I looked up on Dreo's website. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be here at least a week, more like a week and a half, maybe two, maybe two and a half, maybe three. I don't know. It's a range. But I know I'm going to be here at least a week and a half, right? Week and a half.
Yeah.
They can get me a new Pro 3 to 7 business days. I'm like, it's $30. So I started doing nigga math. I'm like, hold on. Let me just go see how much a whole new joint costs on Amazon. Wouldn't you know it? It's on sale for $280. So I'm like, if the Pro 30, I'm really, you know, put that towards a new Dreo. I'm like, it's really 250. At 250, is a steal. So I just ordered it. It'll be here tomorrow. So I don't got to wait 3 to 7 business days, and it'll be here tomorrow. Thanks, Amazon. And mom's there, and I'm going to leave a Dreo here.
Yeah. So you ain't got to pack one next time.
I ain't got to pack one next time. Mom's got it. You know what I'm saying? It's like the both of us.
The both of us.
Yeah, you know? Just gonna keep it at her house. Yeah.
He got an Awayo, young.
Yeah, that could be the name of the episode. Kenny bought an Awayo.
Kenny bought an Awayo. Let me put it in my phone.
Hey, yeah. Hey, no. After I bought her, I'm like, yeah, what is wrong with me, Joe? Like, I'm about to start judging niggas who don't got a motherfucking Dreo, yo. Like,
yeah.
Walking up to me, well, like, what the fuck is that, an Instapot Vortex Pro? Yeah, I'm ready to go. These people clearly aren't cultured enough.
Oh, man.
They got a motherfucking Power XL. I'm ready to motherfucking leave. Like,
yeah. Look at that clunky shit, man.
Yeah. That old 2021 ass air fryer, you know?
That 85 jalopy of an air fryer.
Yeah. about that Dre, you know. I know that's something. Yeah. I know Dirty Marv gotta have one by now.
Nah, yeah. I tried to put him on. He was like, dog, I'm tired of buying appliances, and you keep on getting me to buy these shits. I'm like, but they all be good, though. He was like, yeah, man, but I don't got no more fucking, you know, counter space and shit. I'm like, nigga, you got the biggest kitchen out of everybody, man. Put one of them joints in the motherfucking the closet, dude. So.
It's okay, y'all, to retire your appliances, man. When you buy something upgrade, it's fine. Like, you don't got to keep it on the counter. You can just put it in a closet or just give it to somebody.
Donate it.
It's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, you have limited counter space, but I wouldn't, like, not buy a better appliance just because I'm like, I already got one. Especially
if
one
it's
that
better.
Works. If it's better, it, you know. I know it sounds like we probably, like, we're getting paid to say this shit, but, like.
We need to.
Yeah, we probably need to. Because niggas, like, start getting suspicious, like, you know, y'all niggas are really slicing this motherfucking appliance, but, like, you know. Yeah, dog. Like, anything under 300 to me, as much as I use it now and how good the results are, it's a no-brainer.
Hey. I was hungover on Sunday, man. I was like, I don't feel like cooking today, so I was about to go to my go-to off a hangover, which is ramen and shit. But I was like, man, I do not want to eat a whole bunch of noodles and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a whole bunch of fucking unnecessary carbs or whatever, so I was like, you know what? I think I got two more pieces of salmon in here, young, in the freezer. I threw that joint in the motherfucker, in the sink for a couple hours and shit. Mm-hmm. Plugged that probe in, young. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hot damn, young. I couldn't have, like, you know, slaved over a stove and made something better than that, young. For real.
It's not even really, like, cooking.
Like, so, don't you know that, whatever that fucking, that Ronco rotisserie back in the day, like, set it and forget it. Like, this is literally what the fuck this is, you know?
Yeah. It's no standing over a stove. It's not like you want blackened salmon, standing over there blackening the joint, taking it out. You don't got to do none of that.
Mm-hmm. That joint tap you on your wrist, that on your watch, or hit you with a notification on your phone when there's 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when you take it out, you don't got to let it rest, nothing like that. Like, it's ready to eat right out the joint.
Yeah.
It's done all that.
You got the rest built in, you know?
God damn.
Yeah. I'm just glad somebody, like, got one to, like, justify, like, me, you know, slicing it and shit, you know? Because I really just try to spread the knowledge and the love, you know? Because people can actually use this shit. It's not something that's going to sit on your countertop, dog.
Right.
You're going to use it.
You're going to use this one because it does so much and it does it so well. You're like, why wouldn't I use it?
Yeah. All that. Have you made a baked potato in there yet?
Not yet.
So, like, with every other thing, like, including, like, I got a Ninja Foodie as well, and, you know, before that I had regular air fryer, whatever. Every time I get instructions to make a baked potato in an air fryer, it tells me to, like, poke a million holes in that joint with a fork and shit, man. Mm-hmm. Nigga, I be poking the fuck out my arm and shit, you know, my hand and shit, like, dog, all it says is rub that bitch with some olive oil and then sprinkle it with some salt and put it in the basket, you know. That's it. Most fluffy baked potato without all that fucking, you know, possible bodily harm, you know?
Yeah.
Who knew? All right. That's our Dreo spot for the day. So,
it continues to amaze.
Yeah. But I will say, you know, like I said, I still have a Ninja Foodie. In this past week, I was looking up I was looking up everywhere online to see how to make my yearly corned beef that I make every year for St. Paddy's Day or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there is no specific recipe for a corned beef, but I'm like, a corned beef ain't nothing but a brisket anyway. So I was going to cook it like I cooked the brisket or whatever, but I kind of got cold feet at the end and shit because for the past, like, 4 or 5 years, I've been making my corned beef in my pressure cooker slash, you know, air fryer, the Ninja Foodie, whatever. So I went back to that, and I will say for certain things, you know, if you have, if you like have a recipe for like anything where you want like the meat shreddable or whatever, like, you know, pulled pork, you know, like carnitas, and you know, like something like a corned beef, whatever, a pressure cooker I think is still the best, because it just like fucking pulverizes whatever you put in there and shit. So, you know, now if you want to take it out of there and then put it in the Dreo and get like a better sear on it, the Dreo, I think it goes up to like 450 on the broil setting or whatever, and I think the Ninja Foodie tops out at 400. So, you know, just FYI. So, I'm trying to give my old appliances some love, but it's still Dreo number one though.
Yep.
So,
and I actually think if you probably just had that, like you said, like a slow cooker, yeah, that's probably only two you probably need for like most of the cooking that you do.
Yeah, you know, the other appliance I have, the Tokit, which is you know, another version of the Thermomix, which I was talking about last week. Oh yeah, and I forgot to mention, like, the reason I got the Tokit instead of the Thermomix is Thermomix is about $4,500 if you get a brand new one. Shit. So, yeah, I think mine was $800 or $900 like retail, and I got it for like maybe $650 something like that. So it was no brainer for me to, like, you know, not pay, you know, three times as much money for something or whatever. And I do a lot more, like, more sophisticated things in there, quote unquote. So that's that.
I'm gonna ask you this, real quick. What's the difference between, I think it was the Innova? I know Innova made one, it was kind of like the Tokyo, but I was just wondering why that one, as opposed to, like you said, one was like $4,500 or whatever, but I know there are ones that are a little cheaper than that as well.
Well, like the Thermomix, and like Thermomix, like, you have to also subscribe to a recipe, like, subscription site or whatever, whereas everything is built into Tokit. So now Thermomix has like maybe 45,000 recipes on hand at a price, but the Tokit has about 5,000. But I'm so much of a fucking researcher and a fucking Scrooge and shit, man, I can find like copycat Thermomix recipes online, and I just pin them on my damn Pinterest joint or whatever, and I adopt it and do the steps manually on my Tokit. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, you know, the power of the engine is like a little bit stronger and shit. Like, I can do everything from like grind coffee to like make mixed drinks in that joint. Has a paddle and shit. I can fucking make bread. Like, you know, once I get down to exactly where I want to be and shit, I'm gonna be making motherfucking pizzas and all that shit in there, man. Like, it fucking proofs the damn dough and shit. For, you know, there's a whole bunch of shit, right? So, I'm using like maybe one fucking fourth of its power right now, just because, you know, I'm trying to use it for healthy reasons. But you know, there's a whole bunch of shit that I got on the docket for later on. So,
you made hollandaise with it?
Dog, hollandaise and risotto were the first two things I made in there, because those aren't hard recipes, but you always gotta fucking pay attention to be stirring continuously and shit. If you don't want like lumpy ass, you know, hollandaise, nigga, that shit was so silky, dog. Yeah, took that step back, young. It's not in my head, man. Yep.
That's why you buy it.
Man. Yep. Hollandaise, Bernese, yeah. All the sauces.
All them sauces. Man. How was the risotto?
Oh man, delicious. I made asparagus risotto, as a matter of fact. Like, yeah, it's this recipe where you like, You use the stalks for the stock, and then the tops for the actual risotto. Cause you know them hard ass stalks and shit, I always just chop those off and throw them away, whatever. But it actually makes a really good, like you know, tasty broth or whatever. Never knew that. So yeah, all that. right, Kenny, how your week been, man? I know you got a week ahead of you, or so back home, but how's the past week been, man?
It's been eventful, I say that. Doing stuff now over StreamYard. Learning that, and like trying to do like full scale productions over it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a challenge, but people seem to like the stuff that we're doing, so just getting a lot of kudos on stuff at work. So
yeah, I always thought that StreamYard was like some basic shit that streaming for the pools or whatever, but I see a lot of professional models use StreamYard. It's just is it just that easy to use, or is it's more accessible?
Yeah, it's accessible. Like I haven't had much experience with it up until this point, but one thing that people that I work with, people that I know that have used it, have said that it's very easy to navigate. It's very simple user interface. It's not the most powerful software in the world, but like, as long as you understand its limitations, like you can do stuff that like may surprise. Like, I didn't know StreamYard could do this. Now, again, it does have its limits, but overall, like for what it is, it's impressive. But I think like there's definitely space for somebody to build something that is a little more robust and I would say like big ways, but again, for what it is, like I think you can get a plan on that for like $20 a month. Like, if you're somebody that wants to do like a video podcast, or even like something where you're showing like B-roll and sites and stuff like that, they can't be so big, and you can't load with so many files into it at one time. So like, it kind of limits your creativity, and so that you can't have so many elements in it. So it's kind of meant to be more like a bare bones, more something like a podcast. But again, it does have capabilities beyond that, but there's still limited. But again, for what it is, like, you can get access to it for $20 a month and like just run like a YouTube show out of it or whatever like that. Like, man.
Okay. Good to know. All right. Any plans while you home?
Man, just, hopefully get to see you, just family, friends. That's pretty much it while I'm here, man. Definitely want to help mom. Clean out the rest of the house.
I think about saying, learn how to use the Dreo.
Yeah, I already gave a 2-minute lesson, I said, I ordered you a Dreo. We're going to learn this one real quick. And she was kind of tired, but I'm like, I'm just going to show you so you can't say I didn't. Showed all the presets, like, my, it can't be any easier than this. It's like 3 or 4 button presses. It shows you, like, presets, like, pork, seafood, whatever it is, all the, just hit the button. If they put water in it, put water in it. Put the probe in it and, like, put it in there and hit the button. That's it.
Just hit the button.
That's it. But I know she's going to call me, like, a month from now. Kenny, how... You said something about there's a what? How you doing with the intelligent? What's it, intelligent smart? Oh, shit.
And the Wi-Fis and the...
Yeah, and all that. Yeah,
My bad. So you want to help a clean up and everything? Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff my pops had in his house, man. That dude was like Chris Sand for the Landover. He never called me a big dummy though. But other than that, man, he had a lot of war suspenders. You know what I'm saying? Kind of walk like Fred G, light skinned nigga. You know what I'm saying? But he just kept a lot of shit. And it seems like every 3 or 4 years, like, we clean out like one portion of the house. And my father just had a lot of shit, man. So, got to do to finish the basement. All
right. Good man, good son. All right, the week that was, what did I do this past weekend? Okay, I got two stories. I'll tell the second one during the Dune recap or whatever.
Can't wait for that.
I don't want this to be like an ongoing segment, Young, because I really am a nice guy, but I think if you keep on saying that to people, Young, you kind of like make yourself look like a bad guy, Young. I don't want this fucking segment to be like toxic tone, but this first one, I think I can fully be exonerated of not being an asshole. I was completely right, Kenny.
Okay.
Let me tell you. All right, so
and real quick, you're not an asshole, butthole, but go ahead.
Whatever the difference is between those two things, okay, but my homeboy Rome hit me up and was like, one of his classmates who like lives not too far from me, but in a different tax bracket for sure, up 16th Street. I went to her house maybe the past 2 years for like a little cookout because Rome's in school to be, and for some reason, I'm not sure if you noticed that with people you know who went to Hampton, Kenny, it seemed like people in the School of Business like are much tighter and they do things together like post-grad a lot more than any other school, you know? I don't know if it's because they spend so much time in like, you know, like studying for like those business classes and shit, you know? Like every little, like I have like four or five groups of people who like were in business school that are really tight and they like do something together like every year.
Yeah. I think it's more like that biz, like the mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Probably so.
Trying to foster relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Just the understanding that it's not what you know, who you know.
Yeah.
But having like that kind of like hustle mentality. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Like, I don't think they did like any more studying, you know, like group projects than any other major. Like, shit. Like, I was an English major and it's like all we fucking did was like group projects, like pretty much junior year on.
Yeah, you're probably right. That makes sense, though. Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, though. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, like that network, they always help each other get jobs and shit. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Somebody always got a fucking idea. Like, let's pool our money or blah, 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 blah.
Resources, yeah. Yeah, I've been to, like, two of her little cookouts or whatever, so he was like, homegirl's having a dinner party, man. She's like, you know, invite Tone. So I'm like, cool. He's like, Dion coming too. So last week was Dion's birthday and shit. So I think it was on a world tour and shit. So so me, Dion, and Rome went to Shorty's house or whatever, man. So, you know, a few people asked me last Saturday because, you know, Saturday was like Black St. Patty's Day because niggas had to go work on Monday. So we weren't doing the shit on Sunday. We did it on Saturday. So niggas like, yo, what you doing today? Like, I'm going to a dinner party. And like, yeah, niggas are so fucking childish. Like, ooh la la, like, oh, aren't you grown? Like, you know, hitting that little, you see that, you ever seen that cat meme? Like, look at this distinguished gentleman with his bow tie on. Aren't you sophisticated? I got a lot of those, you know? So I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? I don't think I've ever been to a dinner party, dog. Like, I ain't talking about a birthday party. I ain't talking about celebrating a promotion. Just, like, for no reason at all, I want to have some people over my house, and I'm catering some food. We're having a dinner party. And I was like, maybe I am a distinguished gentleman, you know, very sophisticated person. All
right.
I don't know. Alright, so we pull up to the joint, whatever, right? And I'm figuring I'm gonna see all the usual suspects there. And I didn't know a single person when we opened that door. So I said, okay. That's fine. Then she was like, oh hey guys, y'all are almost the last people to get here. Grab yourself something to drink so I can explain what we're doing. So my antennas went up right away. So I panned the room, Young, and everybody was looking back like motherfucking Ike Turner looking at Tina and shit, Young.
wait. Hold up. They was looking at Shorty like that or looking at you like that?
Just in that general direction or whatever.
General
like I was
direction?
I'm standing right next to her or whatever.
Oh, okay, everybody, so when she said that, okay, got you.
Yeah, everybody started looking back like motherfucking Fish Brown, yeah?
That's a real good look, by the way.
It's a good look, yeah. It's a good look, but it isn't, yeah.
Yeah, it isn't. Yeah.
So then...
Good eye, but go ahead, yeah.
I pan the room again, young, and I look towards that motherfucker, that dinner table, dog, and I see a big ass hair, young.
A hair?
A fucking rabbit, Kenny.
That's what I was about to say.
And that nigga looking at me, young, his eyes got big. I said, young. So... I'm like, look, nobody else gonna say it. I'ma say it, but you know what? I'ma do it in a way where it's not gonna be as awkward. So I said, we not about to get a pitch to be in a cult, are we?
Yeah.
Like nobody laughed. Everybody was just looking because I think people wanted an answer. So she was like, no, Tone, this is not a pitch to be in a cult, and I'm not selling y'all anything either. And everybody's like, okay, of course. I'm like, y'all full of shit, young. I said what everybody in the fucking room was thinking. And y'all was here like 15, 20 minutes and they ain't say shit, young. Just waiting to know, like, let me know so I can Abe Simpson the fuck out of here if y'all trying to sell me something or put me in a motherfucking coat, you know? How about that? As a matter of fact, young, if it was a coat, young, I'd probably stick around just to see a motherfucking pitch, young, because I've been to an MLM meeting before and shit. I know what that's about, you know? Like, a coat would be some new shit. Like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an episode of Curb, but keep going.
My weekend was an episode of Curb, you know?
Yeah.
So then she's like,
you hear the pitch from the cult.
Hey, dog.
That's something that motherfucking Larry would say, you know?
But you know what, though, Kenny? You know I'm like a low-key cult enthusiast, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. I watch all these fucking documentaries on cults and shit, you know? And like, a little known fact is, cults, even though they go after, like, dumb people just to, like, fill out the roster and shit, young, the main people they go after is smart people, dog. They go after the highly educated people because those people are usually a bit more socially awkward, and they have access to money and resources because they smart. And they's looking to belong someplace, young. Don't get me in my fucking cult bag, young. They're not all bad, young. Well, not at the beginning. They start off, you know, pretty good intentions and shit, but then people get drunk and rich with power and shit, and they start, you know, putting blue snuggies on and shit, you know, and giving out, you know, poison. But it's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there?
Yeah, it's neither here nor there. This wasn't a cult. It wasn't an MLM. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything bad. In all seriousness, like, it was actually dope because homegirl and her friend who also went to Howard, who I didn't know, whatever, they actually, you know, some intellectual sisters, and they, like, are very well read, and they, like, follow this, like, clinical psychologist or whatever who, you know, had started this thing that, you know, he said, like, especially since COVID or whatever, man, you know, people have become less socially active with each other, and you know, especially people like 35 and over have stopped meeting new people. Yeah, like their friends are their friends, and even their friends, like their interaction with their friends, isn't even in person anymore. It's just like liking photos on Instagram, commenting on something on Facebook. You know, it's nothing really in person. It's nothing, you know, intimate and shit. So what he suggested that people do was to start having these dinner parties which, you know, you would take like one or two of your friends, and each of you would like, you know, invite four or five people, and then you would just sit down, have dinner. They would like make, you know, since it was like 10 of us or whatever, they made produce like 10 questions that people put in a bowl. You went around the room and asked people, you know, they would ask the question or whatever, and then it would just start a dialogue, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then through that, you know, whatever will come of that will come of it. So specifically with like my homeboy Dion, he's the president and founder of an IT health company. So another young lady there, man, she does a lot of community work, whatever, but she started a charter school as well. And you know, people who start charter schools and have startups or whatever, man, their main problem is money and resources or whatever. So one of the things he does with his company is he pays out 1 or 2 days a month paid leave for people to do community service. So through that, he's setting up some workshops for her school, and you know, they're going to do some fundraising together as well. And I'm like, see, like shit like that, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cool ass idea, man. I'm glad I went there and I didn't leave before I got the bad vibe. But you know, she said that maybe in like 6 months, I think I went to the second one, whatever. So in 6 months, by the end of the summer, she's gonna have like, you know, a big get together or whatever of everybody who's been to all of them or whatever, and you know, just keep the network going. I'm like, you know, that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope.
Nice.
So, yeah. But I wasn't wrong.
Nah, not at all.
Yeah. Cause niggas was looking worried in there, you know, mm-hmm. drinking that wine all nervous and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, here I am, 5 minutes in, you know,
yeah.
And squashed all this shit.
Right.
And by the way, the rabbit was her daughter's.
Okay.
His name was Buddy, so I don't know how they hadn't thought of this shit. I named him Bugs Buddy.
Bugs Buddy.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. Yeah. You didn't think this shit looked like a cold either, but you know, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Alright, so yeah. That was part one of my social interactive on weekend.
Okay.
More to come soon.
Alright.
Alright, let's jump into what? College hoops?
Yeah. That time of year.
Yeah, man. Shot to Howard. Made our second straight NCAA tournament. Had a really good game with Wagner last night. Yeah, I thought that game was over, dog. Like, you know, I didn't watch the second half, and they were down by 10. They take it to 7. They go by 13. So I kind of, like, you know, tuned out or whatever. And then my phone started blowing up, and, like, yeah, they were down to, like, 5, like, a minute to go. Cut to 3, cut to 1. Got a few free throws by Wagner, and they came down, man. They had 3 good looks, Sean. Couldn't ask for anything better than that. Just couldn't put the ball in the hole, man. So, you know, really good season by Coach Blakeney. Getting those guys, you know, playing well, man. Have you seen that graphic about since 2021, Howard is has the best record of college basketball in the area?
In D.C.
D.C., yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it includes Maryland, too, but you know.
I didn't know the graphic included Maryland, too.
Actually, it doesn't. That was GW. My bad. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah, but DC, all the college basketball programs in DC, and that includes like, you know, American, George Washington, Georgetown, Howard. Yeah, absolutely. They are definitely the. Yeah, Howard's been a standard bearer, man.
Yeah.
They're a lot Jordan like. Brand
hit different, you know.
They're a lot like Boise State football. Like, they've been, like, probably the most successful football program in the entire state. I mean, that's at the D2 level, but, yeah, that's what they were.
Yeah.
Now, of course, people don't see it that because it's not, you know, Division I, it's not Power Conference football, but that's all a part of, like, just building the culture of, like, of winning so that you know, that becomes a standard that's expected of the basketball program. And a lot of times you don't have that standard until you actually have sustained success. So I don't know if Coach Blakeney is going to be in it for the long term. I don't know what his career aspirations are. But you like the fact that, like, you know, people like to win. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you don't know how addicting it can be until you actually start winning a lot. And for Howard, that's, you know, you go to two straight NCAA tournaments, like, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope they keep it up. Like I said, I don't know the future for Coach Blakeney, but, you know, even if you were to, you know, to move on somewhere else, you like to think that, like, now they like, we want to keep this going. So whatever we have to do as far as the resources are concerned to make sure that we can, to bring somebody else that's going to help us sustain this and possibly build up on it, that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I would like to see, like Howard, I like to see this for a lot of HBCUs. Of course, I like to see it for Hampton and, you know, the Florida A&Ms of the world and whoever it is. But, like NIL, with how unrestricted it is now, like at some point, you know, there are going to be some regulations put on it as far as, like, player movement and stuff like that. But for right now, like, it's the Wild West.
Yep.
I like to see, you know, Howard, you know, they like to flex his, you know, their alumni muscles a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
I had the same conversation with my man, Super Mets fan, Black Steve today, and I was like, dog, all these motherfuckers who like are entertainment juggernauts or whatever, like, this is some flashy shit they can do, you know? Because we know niggas love flashy, right?
Yeah, there's NIL and then there's collective. Like, Howard can have its own NIL collective, and they can put in whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. A lot of them schools in Atlanta. Yeah, man, they can put some money in, make it a lot more attractive for these coaches who might, you know, catch some light in the bottle to stay rather than to leave and they get their first offer somewhere else, man. Because, like you said, winning is addictive. If you can get players and get some primetime games, whatever, like, man, you know, coach might stay one or two more years. Why not?
And see, the thing is, it, like, Howard can have, and I say Howard, and I also say, like, a lot of HBCUs, but, like, just hearing, like, guys like Seth Towns talk about, like, how important it is for him to be doing this at Howard, and, like, I've heard, like, other players say that. Like, they understand, like, the history of Howard University, like, it's why they came there. Like, you can, like, recruit a certain type to Howard, you know what I'm saying, and, like, build a program doing that. Like, some schools, like Notre Dame does it in football. Like, there's a Notre Dame type, you know what I'm saying? There's a Stanford type. Like, certain schools have a type. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just understanding, like, you know, these are the type of, like, athletes we want to bring to the school. These are the types that we think may not have issues in the classroom, whatever it may be. You can recruit a type, but you can also, like, get your collective up and make it a lot more enticing from a financial standpoint. There's a lot of ways, like, dog, you still playing Division I basketball. If somebody is offering you $700,000, $800,000 at Howard, as opposed to what you might be getting, like, $200,000, $300,000 at fucking Rutgers, like, I don't know, you know. But I think there's opportunity there.
I mean, I got a lot of resources.
And even when it comes to NIL, like, you know, a lot of black-owned businesses out there, man, like, they can get themselves involved in it as well.
Yep.
Like, that's the NIL part, like, using your name, image, and likeness. It's doing endorsements, doing commercials, whatever it is, hawking products.
See a nigga with the Eastern Motors deal right now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a perfect example.
I think Sam just jumped on. What's up, Sam?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, bro?
Yeah. Ain't nothing.
How you be, bro?
Good, man. Good. Just settling in. You know, had to do some parenting shit. So, got to meet with these teachers, you know. So, yeah, it just kind of set my day back. I didn't even know we had that today. But, yeah, what was y'all talking about?
Talking about the Howard game and, like, you know, Coach Blakeney, how long he might be there because of, you know, the success they've had. And,
man, he won't be there long.
Yeah, for the most part. But, you know, just in general, how schools can maybe keep coaches and, you know, maybe recruit certain players better than they have in the past. It's all about money.
Yeah. I just hope when he leaves, it ain't for another local program. Yeah, because that ain't going to look good. He can't go, like, hop over to GW or no shit. So, if he gets scooped up by, like, a mid-major or something, like, that's fine. But it can't be from around here. Because he going to look like an asshole.
You think so?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's right, you're going to be right down the street. But I think it would be better, like, if you're going to take a job, like, you know, somewhere in the Midwest or, you know, down south, you know, northeast, somewhere, it can't be right down the street, you know.
I think that would, like, if he was from somewhere else, but he's from here. So, like,
this I know. Is,
like, where he has all connections at. But to, he's familiar.
But Kenny, like, but to leave the HBCU uh-huh. and then go to, like, GW, like, right up the road.
Yeah.
Like, that, I mean, either way, it's going to be like, oh, you just used the blood. It's going to be some Dion shit. But it's, like, right up the road. Like, same beat writer's going to be covering them. Like, it's a way to, like, that story is unavoidable. But at least if he gone, like, it's a fresh start. But you got to explain to the motherfucking Washington Post why you did it. Motherfucking Hilltop going to be writing articles. Them students going to have something to say. Especially if you fuck around and play them. Like, man, that'd just be a bad look. So I just hope he, like, leaves. But I don't think it's going to be after this year, no shit. But we'll see, though.
I'll just say this, you know, like, I don't think anybody could objectively, like, blame him for leaving Howard to take an A-10 job.
Yeah. I hear you.
I mean, I think you also have to factor in, does he give a fuck?
Oh, no, I don't think he would give a fuck, especially with the money, right?
Some people are about their purse and their opportunities, you know, and they ain't always there, you know. Like, he can have a good run and then stay maybe a year longer, a player get hurt, and then they sorry, you know, and then he right back to the middle of the pack in a motherfucking MEAC, dog. Like,
nah, I mean,
like, the iron while it's hot sometimes, man.
Look at LaVale Moulton, you know.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, like, it seemed like it was just a matter of time. You know what I'm saying? Before he got a job. Now, I don't know. Maybe he wants to stay at Central. But I know that even A-10 jobs pay a lot more than MEAC jobs.
Right.
And he ain't got to move his family, his kids, and stay in the same school. Like, if I'm him, I'm like, if I took the GW, I wish somebody would say something to me about, like, why I do it. Like, yeah, it was a better opportunity. Now, it's nothing against, and this is what I was telling Tone. Like, there's nothing wrong with losing coaches who are going on to what, again, are objectively, like, better opportunities. It's more resources. I'll be getting paid more money. Like, it's a better opportunity, like opportunity for my family and I. Like, this will help my family do things that I probably never thought I'd be able to help them do. That's how sometimes, like the bump in pay from, like, jobs can be. Like, even when going from an A-10 job to, like, a fucking Big E job into an SEC job, like, you keep rising up, but, you know, I can't blame somebody for wanting to do that for them and their people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's also an opportunity here, and this kind of, after you came into conversation, I was like, I hope that Howard, like, going to two straight NCAA tournaments, like, now they start to develop a culture within the basketball program where they expect success. And, like, sometimes you don't start to expect it until you actually start doing it. So, like, now at Howard, I hope they understand. Like, yeah, we like this. Like, we like this feeling. We like this feeling of winning. We like this feeling of going to the tournament. The visibility is up given the athletics program. So, like, now they may want to invest the resources to make sure that they can even keep a coach that's currently on the staff or that, you know, maybe ready for the job or bring somebody else along that, like, is going to help, like, sustain that program. Again, there's nothing wrong with coaches moving on. But you got to kind of understand sometimes, like, it's nothing wrong with the pecking order sometimes because it just kind of is what it is.
Right.
How would it, like, you would hope that it actually is a stepping stone job so it becomes attractive to, like, good coaches. They want to coach there because they know, like, if I do a really good job here for 3 or 4 years, I'm going to get an opportunity somewhere. Now, yeah, you may look at it like, damn, it's like they always change the coaches, but, like, at the end of the day, what's the results? Mm-hmm. If they're moving on to better jobs, that mean they're having success at Howard. That's good for Howard.
Nah, I understand. Yeah, we're not disagreeing. Only thing I said was he leaving, like, for sure, eventually. Like, yeah. I mean, he's been doing too good of a job, and it's going to be attractive to other schools. Like, and he's earned it, too. Like, Kenny was out of coach. Like, I remember when he was with Tommy at Harvard, and he dipped for a while, and I didn't know he was completely out of coaching until I just read up on it the other day. And that made sense because I didn't hear much about him anymore. So he only got back into coaching in like right before COVID. Like he was on staff at I forgot where it was, but yeah, and he got the Howard job like right before COVID hit. So he's earned it, man. So yeah, if he can get like, you know, shit, 7 figures. He might get a 7-figure-a-year job, you know.
And yeah, that's the natural progression for
yeah,
that. Absolutely. There's
you
no
can't
doubt about
you
it.
Can't turn that down.
Nah.
And yeah, I mean, to your point, like Tyler Thornton is second chair there.
Mm-hmm.
Like he might want to stay, but honestly, Kenny, I doubt it. Like he gonna go with Kenny.
Yeah, he don't. I know that for a fact. I hope I ain't telling that man business. But yeah, he don't want me there.
Yeah. So yeah, but anyway, yeah, it was you know,
but then
it was
again,
a good showing, good year.
Then again, if they, I don't know, they may offer him a head job. You know,
that's what I'm saying. He's second chair. He probably would be like in line for if he wanted it. Like he's a high profile name.
Yeah, local dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like he could probably get more, not even just get more as an assistant, but just like it'll be a better like. More opportunities wherever Kenny is going.
Sure.
So.
Or you can look at it like, I just saw Kenny take the head coaching job here to a head coaching job there.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes the calculus. Like, what's the shortest point for me getting, if my goal is to be a Division I head coach at the mid-major level, what's the shortest way I can do it? I can either take this job and do this really good for about another, say, 3 years. Say I sustain success at Howard, and over the next 3 years we go to 2 more tournaments. I'd be in line for a job like Kenny has. That may not be the case. There was a lot of times assistants get caught on that treadmill a lot of times, like chasing bigger jobs at like high-level programs.
Yep.
When their best shot was really taking a head coaching job and showing that they can be a head coach and turn a program like that to a consistent winner, that's how you get a head job.
Oh, yep.
But whatever happens, I hope Howard sustains this. It's good. It's good to have this good basketball in the city, you know what I'm saying, no matter who it's from. And I would actually like to get to a point where now the Ed Cooley's at Georgetown, like, the schools in the area should play each other. Like, they used to have that joint downtown every year.
Right.
Like, American play, you know what I'm saying, George Washington, and, you know what I'm saying? Like, they should do that. the schools in the area should play one another.
Yeah, they built a whole alumni weekend around us playing Georgetown down at the Verizon Center. This was like maybe 8-9 years ago. It was like, you know, a whole bunch of events, man. You know, like the Black Georgetown alumni came. Like, you know, it was, they were like right across the section from us, or whatever. Like, it was a good time, man.
Yeah,
really? Good time. Yeah. Did you watch the game, Sam?
Oh no, what's that shit called? The First Four.
Yeah.
I never watched that. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched a few minutes in the second half. I turned from that joint. Then, because like I was telling Kenny, it just kept on going. Down by 7, down by 13, down by 7, down by 10, whatever. Like, yeah, they can't get over the hump or whatever. Then, yeah, that phone started just blowing up, you know. And what's the name was kicking one of the group chats off, Kenny. That nigga Samir, he was like, man, I hope y'all win. And I was like, this nigga. But he wasn't even trolling though, you know. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, fuck it, like, man, you know, somebody in the area got winning shit, man. Well, why not, man? Fuck it, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. They got close, but just couldn't get over the hump. And like I said, they had three really good shots. But you know, I'm always a glass half full guy. And I was like, yeah. Would have been nice if we won, but just, like, judging by these motherfuckers, like, all these texts, like, what we could have and should have done, you know, like, I don't want to hear that shit on Thursday when they play Carolina, you know, like, had we got 5 more rebounds in the first half and kept it close, we could have, like, nah, I do not want to deal with that on my phone, you know, leave me the fuck alone, you know, I'm good. Great season, fellas. All right, so... Anything else? College basketball?
Nah, I'm just looking forward to seeing what Ed Cooley got cooking up this offseason. Transfer portal opened up on Monday. If you don't know what that is, head over to 24/7 Sports on YouTube. Get a whole series of videos on the live shows, all that stuff, man. But it's basically basketball free agency in college. So, what I'm in, NIL war chest is, yeah, it's robust to say the least. So, yeah, it's time to bring some players in. It's out of this shit. Enough is a fucking enough. Got 5 spots to fill, you know. So, I'm expecting fireworks.
You talking, I guess you're talking like the portal or just straight out of high school or a combination?
No, the high school class they're bringing in this year is good.
Okay.
Like all things so considered, like what they've done over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years to bring in a top 15 class with some guys I think that can be really good. Yeah, you know, they did a really good job on the trail. I'm talking exclusively about the transfer portal. So, considering all who's already said they're going in the portal from Georgetown, guys who are going to be gone just because they use up their eligibility, like, there's 5 open spots for next year. And they're going to have to fill those with guys through the portal. And for what I'm hearing, like, they don't have like between 4 to 5 million, which is a top 5 NIL budget amongst any school in America. Like the numbers that I've heard, like it was like eye popping. I heard it was gonna be good, but like people that are like, you know, who know, who were like, yeah, like Georgetown's gonna have an insane amount of money like for NIL. So if you got 5 spots to fill and you have like this budget, like, at some point, this has to turn around. So between the guys you expect to return from this year's team, the high school players that you're bringing in, but you expect the guys you're bringing through the portal are going to be, there has to be at least one star player that comes through the portal this year, at least one, considering how much money they're going to have to spend. So But at the same time, like, they have to turn this around. This year was bad. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I thought it would be bad, but not this bad. Like, again, you go through a whole Big East conference season and you still get two wins and they're both against DePaul. That's not good, man. So, I'm, you know, trusting the process, all that, but considering the bread you got available, I expect this to be turned around. Like, you got to be in the tournament next year. But in order to get there, like, you're going to have to hit. I know you got certain people targeted, you know, their names out there, people that you think going to end up being in the portal once their season's over. Like, have a plan, execute it. It's time. That's it.
Shout out to Colorado State last night. Also got in the first four games. So Saturday night after we left the dinner party, there's a new sports bar on U Street. And went there to watch the Carolina NC State final game for the ACC tournament. And these motherfucking State fans next to me were fucking obnoxious and shit, which is why I don't go out to watch games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, towards the very end of the game, like, one of the guys leaned over to me and shit and was like, yeah, man, good game, but, you know, we just fucking hate you and Duke, man. And I'm like, you know, I get it, man. You know, State fans are supposed to hate us. He's like, no, we went to Virginia. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Hope y'all don't get in the tournament, first of all. And if y'all do, I hope y'all lose in your first game. And they did. So, shout to UVA. Why don't go out, man? People are obnoxious, man. Just fucking mind your business.
Yeah, though, they had 14 points at half last night.
For real?
Yeah, it was disgusting, you know.
Yeah, I saw people tweeting about it.
I just woke up this morning and saw, you know, Craig Melvin rolling his eyes while holding them was like, yeah, they played good. They were doing it. They were hustling last night. Just talking about Wagner and Colorado State, and I was like, uh-huh. "Look, hold on. As long as they lost, Sean, you can say anything you want."
Mm-hmm.
That's Craig's problem, not mine, you know.
Right.
What, Craig went to Virginia or something?
No, he's got to sit there and listen to them. Oh. And know what they're talking about, you know.
Oh, jeez.
He was like, yeah. Al, fucking help me, young. Lifeline.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. I guess we play on Thursday, so see who we got.
I saw Craig interviewing Sydney Sweeney today. He's trying not to look at them big titties.
For real?
Mm-hmm. I was just sitting here laughing, you know. And it wouldn't even, she wasn't even wearing nothing but cleavage, you know. It was just funny.
Yeah.
you saw, you know?
I did not. It made me think of Joy Taylor. She was on the Pivot podcast.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet them niggas was acting stupid.
I'm sitting there laughing at Ryan Clark.
Trying to be professional. Hoping Channing don't see nothing wild, you know.
Ryan was flashing them teeth, John.
Nah, he was just being extra astute that day. You know? The wisdom there was flowing.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Joy Taylor and Taylor Brooks. They was both on there.
Oh, my God. Lord, yeah. Have mercy. Yeah. I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I ain't never seen a more smooth.
Hey, Kenny. Yeah. I be seeing pictures on the timeline. You know, they be taking pictures together, man. I be like, man, let me just keep scrolling, you know. Before I have to go in the bathroom and close the door right quick, you know. This shit don't make no sense, you know.
Yeah, it does. So it's like, I mean, you know, like, she knows what she be doing, you know.
Man, they both do. Kenny, they be taking them pictures. They be motherfucking back to back like they motherfucking Charlie's Angels, you know. Them titties be poking out, you know. I'm like, come on, you know. It's completely unnecessary, you know.
Hey, have y'all seen, Kenny, I know you on Instagram a little bit more, maybe Sam. You see, you subscribe to Davey Ruffin, right?
Davey Ruffin?
Yeah.
Who's that?
The local comedian who beat Aunt Glizzy up, man.
That bimer,
Man, Davey Ruffin funny as shit, first of all. Dog, the plot twist is, young, he blowing up more than Aunt now, young. That shit funny, dog.
Since the fight?
He be doing these little reels where he be having that motherfucking Nelly Hot in here playing in the back, where he be like, you gotta pick one and shit, man. Like, he got, like, motherfucking Martin, fucking, like, Living Single, like, Cosby Show, and then, like, some whack-ass show. Like, I ain't gonna hold you, man. The motherfucking Parkers, man, when she broke out the motherfucking Alizé, hey, Slim. Yeah.
See? That's a size.
Hey, Davey funny as shit, yeah.
When she broke out that was every episode. Such a sight, you know.
Hey, so he hit this joint today, and the latest joint I saw was like, man, don't you hate when, like, man, like, a chicka, like, you know, she all educated and shit, but every motherfucking picture she take her ass out and shit, and then the motherfucking cons be like, God damn, her ass fat. She like, why you talking about her ass? She got a degree. Like, Slim, why her ass always out there, man? What the fuck you think we gonna talk about? I'm like, young, that be every joint, young. Like, it's some account I follow, like, dark skinned women or whatever. All they be showing is titties and ass. Like, why can't you talk about her? You know she educated, right? I'm like, well, why she got on a bikini in every motherfucking photo in this motherfucking reel, dog? Like, y'all know what y'all be doing, y'all. Like, come on. Yeah. Yeah, but hop on that Davey train, though, y'all.
Okay, all right. Take your word for it, brother.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else? Good.
Yep.
All right. Anything else happened in free agency over the past week, Kenny?
No, not really.
Oh, Justin Fields went to.
He did get traded. Yes, he did.
Yeah, he finally got him off the books. So yeah, I guess Pittsburgh got their short term and long term.
Yeah, we'll see.
Plan in order.
Yeah, I have no idea. Is it supposed to be guaranteed that Russ is the starter? I'm not taking it that way.
Everybody I'm asking, I even, there's like people in NFL front offices, a couple of them, they was like, yeah, Russell Wilson's going to be the starter.
Yeah.
And he's basically going to teach Justin Fields how to be a professional.
Okay.
That's basically how this is going to work out. Now, I don't, you know, that's what they saying, but the first thing I thought of was like, okay, so who's starting?
Right. I don't know if it's guaranteed, but if you're saying people saying he's going to be the starter, that's the plan, then that's the plan.
But see, that's the thing. They're not saying if that's the plan or that's how they're looking at it. Like it's obvious to, like, front office types that that's what Pittsburgh is trying to do here. Like you're saying, like, you know, short-term, long-term, but, like, again.
Okay.
I think it's natural for somebody –
to think
who
that.
Saw how last year turned out to be like, is it just a given that Russ is going to be the start? I don't know, you know.
Yeah, if you're not saying you heard that's the plan definitively, right, then I don't know who the starter is. Because I'm not taking it as Russell Wilson the starter. I hear what you're saying about, like, teaching him how to be a professional, like, as far as, like, being a good influence, like, being close to him.
Right.
That makes perfect sense why they got Russ and then went to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love it.
But like, but Russ don't got to be the starter for that. There's been
all types of cases
when, like, the backup was, like, the mentor to the younger starter. Yep. He taught him how to be a professional and did all. He was basically just an extra coach.
Yep.
So, is Russ? But see, I'm sure Russ feels like, nah, I'm still a starter in the league.
For sure.
So it should just go, like, you know, without much discussion that, like, yeah, I'm not that quickly gone to the part where I'm just, like, a backup nigga now.
Right. Yeah. I think, I'll just say this. I think both of them can go in a training camp knowing that Tomlin is giving both of them a fair shot to be the starter. They can trust that. I don't think Tomlin just gonna give it to Russ. Going out of camp, if he thinks Justin Fields gives him the best chance to win, he will start Justin Fields.
And the players will let him know.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
I think the job is Russ's to lose.
Sure. I understand. Just based off career accomplishments alone. But going into camp, I think he gonna give both. It ain't going to be like Russ can play like trash and Justin Fields can show like marked improvement and just look better and it's just going to go to Russ. I don't believe that.
That and it shouldn't. Absolutely not.
Yeah, unless like Russ and Foster felt the face of the earth, I don't think he has to worry about that. Like Russ really didn't have a bad year last year. They started off very, very shaky, whatever, man. But
yeah.
He actually finished the year pretty well, man. Like, you know, his demise was greatly exaggerated last year. Whereas Justin Fields kind of did a lot of the same things he's been doing the past, you know, his whole career, whatever. So he's, like, you know, I think Russ is clearly the starter. And he'd have to have a terrible training camp not to be the week one starter.
No, I'm with you. Like, based on, like, where they are now, like I said, if Fields shows, like, improvement, because Fields can't, like, improve from where he was and Russ remain the same, and then it's just, like, Russ's job. Like, they're hoping Fields improves. They hoping, he shows, like, you know, just leaps and bounds. As a passer, like, he's processing faster, like, before and after the snap. If he shows all that, like, nah. With his athleticism, they trying to win, bro. But if, you know, I hear what you're saying. If I had to put money on it, sure. Russ would be the starter.
Yeah, and that's another thing, the money. I don't think they paid Russ to sit on the bench.
I don't even know how much they pay him.
Yeah, I think they got for Russ and bargain all things considered. Because, like, Broncos are eating a lot of that money.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about them giving him a beast extension.
I don't think there's, like, a really heavy financial investment for the Steelers in this one.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. I'm like, I don't really think the money's going to make a difference. I'll say this, man. If Justin Fields goes on preseason and balls out, again, the players will let Mike Tomlin know. This last thing you want to do is lose the offense because it's obvious that Justin Fields is playing better than Russell Wilson and you still started Russell Wilson. And it's not like a lot of people like that nigga anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pickens a Bama. He'll definitely say something.
Yeah. You talking about somebody that ran for 1,100 yards like last season. Like, he got that type of like.
That's what I'm saying. If like, he shows.
Like, yeah, like.
Just any improvement as a passer, dog.
I don't know. If he does, I don't know how you don't start him.
Yeah.
Because he's such a weapon. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like him and Pickens on a broken play, dog. Man. Yeah. Or just deep. Like. Because Russ's deep ball fell off.
Mm-hmm. A lot. Yeah.
I don't know if Russ been battling injuries the last couple of years or what, but yeah. It was just age. I don't know. But he clearly ain't what he used to be.
Yeah, going to be 36 during the season. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, like, that's when quarterbacks start falling off, you know. Like, you know, I think Brady and Rodgers done, you know, kind of skewed, like, historical fact a bit. Like, just, niggas just start falling off, like, after 35. It just happens.
Yeah, dude, for 3,000 yards, 26, 8, 98 quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had, like, I remember he had, like, that little winning streak where it looked like they were going to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, he ended, yeah, ended the season very well. So, we shall see. Again, that fucking division, man, not a week off.
We'll see. I'm not believing in the Chargers until, like, oh, you're talking about where Russ is now in the AFC yeah. Central.
North.
Oh, in the North. My bad. Yeah. Yeah. But it, even with Deshaun, like, I don't know if he right yet.
Yeah, that's a question.
Because somebody was like, Russ is the fourth best quarterback, and then they named Deshaun, man. I was like, I don't know about that. I got to see that from him. Because Deshaun, like, what, 28, 29 now? It's been a long 3-4 years, you know. Yep. But whatever, he got his money.
You got to see if these fucking injuries start catching up with Joe Burrow as well. But, you know, on paper, they just look like, you know, the class of the league in terms of quarterbacks in the division.
Yeah.
All right. Entertainment?
Sure. My bad. All
right. So, I saw Dune on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Before I talk about the movie in totality, you missed the first segment, Sam. I thought I almost went to a fucking dinner party that turned out to be a recruitment for a cult, but it wasn't. And I had to be the one to ask the fucking question to the room. So, I wasn't an asshole in that scenario. At this fucking Dune 2 showing, though. So, you been to the Alamo, right?
Who, me?
Theater? Yeah.
Oh, no, not the one in D.C., no.
Yeah, so it's a great movie theater. Like, that might replace my trip out to PG.
Wait. On Rhode Island? Like, yeah. Yeah, I've been to that one. I've been there once.
Okay, so did your theater have the joint where it's like the first like section of seats, and then it's like, you know, a section up and shit, where it's like a bump above the first section and shit, like another box for the seats?
I guess it was like that. I don't really remember, Tone. Shit, it was dark.
Okay, so that's how this was, like, you know, it's like a football stadium. You have, like, the first section, and then section 201 starts the second section or whatever. So, you know, it's a big-ass walkway in between the first section and the second section. So, I got my seat on the first row of the second section and shit. So, I think I sent y'all a picture, like, you know, of the seats that were booked. Like, three or four motherfuckers got their shits, like, dead center in the middle of the theater and shit. So, I said, okay, if I skip two seats and I pick the next seat over to the left, I should be good with some room to my right, and I just gotta worry about my left or whatever, right? So, as soon as I sit down, a white guy and his son sit right there in them two seats and shit. I'm like, God damn, y'all press. Like, y'all want people next to you on both ends? Like, maybe I'm just, like, not over fucking, like, you know, people wanting their room and shit, but apparently, motherfuckers don't have a problem with that shit, so, cool. They sitting to my right and to my left or whatever. Then, like, the movie about to start, you know, they taking everybody orders and shit. This joint got, like, you know, the seat service and shit, so this black dude and his little man, like, sit to the left of me and shit, you know? So, I'm sitting in the middle of two motherfucking youngins and shit, man. And I'm like, I hope these motherfuckers ain't making noise. As soon as the movie start, you know, little white kid asks his father what this mean, what that mean. what did he say? What does that fucking subtitle say? And I'm like, man, I cannot deal with this shit for like another 2.5 hours, man. What's the fucking look? I look back and shit, ain't nothing but like room in between every seat. So, mental note, like, never pick that fucking first row. People who are pressed to see and have the most optimal view and shit, you know, they're going to sit on that first row of the second section. Cool. But let me go through the movie, right? So, as soon as the movie starts, since the black people got there late, they getting their food order late and shit, you know? So, I can't break out my motherfucking snacks either. Let's have some candy and shit. So, I'm waiting until they get their shit done, so... Cool, like, you know, the movie starts or whatever, and, you know, as we'll talk about, man, incredible fucking master cinematography and shit. And then at some point, like, the little white kid, you know, like, he just shuts the fuck up, and he's like, his mouth is just open, like, the last, like, 30 minutes and shit, you know, like, he's just amazed at what the fuck is going on and shit, you know. And, black youngin is quiet too and shit, man. So I lean over, like, as the credits are like, you know, rolling and shit, I'm not sure if they know that, you know, it's no damn post credit scene and shit, the same Marvel movie and shit, man. I lean over and I tap the white guy and I was like, man, you and your son, especially him, he's gonna remember this for the rest of his life. He's like, oh yeah, man, thanks man, appreciate it, man, like, yeah, it was amazing. So then I lean over to the older black gentleman. I tap him, man. I was like, hey, man, you know, this is your son, right? He said, no, it's my boyfriend.
Whoa.
I said,
you offended him, yeah?
Well, I didn't give him a chance to be offended. I was like, okay. But, man, that shit was amazing, dog. Y'all can remember this shit for the rest of y'all life. And I got the fuck out of there, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, like, it was an honest mistake, you know? Like, I just don't want to be on nobody's message boards. no forums. Like, yeah, this is the guy we met at the movie theater. And, like, yeah, if you see him in public, come for him.
He got out of there before he could put you on that TikTok.
Hey, so here's the thing, y'all.
You did say your weekend was like a Curb episode, so yeah, I'm getting it.
So here's the thing, y'all. Like, I'm always seeing certainly older men and younger women, and you start to see older women and younger men. That's really my first experience seeing an older guy and a young, like, a considerably younger guy. And I just, I made an assumption, young. Like, I'll eat that, young, but that's not my fault, young. I was being sincere, so. If I'm the bad guy for that, fine, young, but I did have good intentions, young. And for the record, I am an ally, so.
You had to make that clear.
Man. Shut up and keep on eating, Kenny. Yeah. Just want to put that out there. But yeah. I'm glad I just retorted real quick and got the fuck up out of there. You
know? Yeah, ain't nothing else to say.
Yeah, and you know, like, you know, in all seriousness, like, he didn't seem to take it too negatively, like, on the spot now. If right. He made some shit in his mind afterwards or whatever, they ain't got nothing to do with me, young. If he didn't say it on the spot, young, yeah, I can't be held responsible. So, there's right. That. Okay. Haven't gotten that out the way, young. That shit was top five, and it ain't five.
You mean like movies you've ever seen?
Like, in theater experiences, you know, like in recent memory, I can think of, you know, obviously Avatar, Endgame, and Black Panther, and maybe you can throw No Way Home in there, just because of the, you know,
Yeah.
Toby and Garfield and shit, man. But I think, you know, certainly with the Marvel joint, Sean, like, you have, like, this built-up anticipation because you've been on, like, a fucking 10-year journey with this shit, and this is, like, the culmination of that experience and shit. So you've been invested in that joint, right? Avatar, it's just because of, like, just the visuals and shit. Like, I think I talked about, like, how I like the story in the second one a little bit better than the first one or whatever, man, but nothing has brought me back to watch that again because it's not in that immersive IMAX, you know, theater experience. Certainly not with the 3D or whatever. I think that's a big part of, like, what I admire about, like, the Avatar experience as well as the 3D and shit, man. But for this joint just to be, you know, a film on a regular screen and shit, man, you know, that fucking Dolby shit was ridiculous. I'm glad I saw it in Dolby over IMAX also. But, yeah, man, like, all, like, bells and whistles and fucking, you know, invested, you know, collateral aside the shit, man, just as a film, young. Young. Top five today, five, young. I just don't want to be a prisoner of the moment and go too far with that shit, man. But, yeah, man, this is about what I felt when, like, the second Matrix. Yeah. That's about where I am with it, man. Cinematography, this jump was incredible, man. And as I've read up on, like, the cinematographer of this joint, like, his track record, like, he don't do bad shit. Like, he did, I think, Rogue One. He did the Mando series. He did Blade Runner 2049. And I forgot the other one he did that was, like, this is, like, top tier shit. Like, that's all he does. It's great, great shit. Oh, The Creator. So, you know, you can say what you want about the story or whatever, man, but, like we talked about when we reviewed that joint, man, to be a film that wasn't like didn't have, like, a super big budget, man, it just felt like a big movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, like, acting has to be, you know, part of a great movie, you know, fucking, like, budget has to be part of a great movie, but, like, this shit has kind of, like, turned my attention towards the cinematography aspect of movies and shit, and, like, what we expect when we go to see big budget blockbuster movies and shit. Because as Marvel has shown us over the past 2 years, and certainly DC, you can put a whole bunch of money behind a fucking movie and it still doesn't feel like a blockbuster. It can feel like a fucking, you know, a big special, you know. And when you put $400 or $500 million in a movie, you know, it should feel like a fucking event. And this shit felt like a fucking event. So. Just yeah. Wanted to start there.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you finally saw it. But, yeah, it's definitely one of the best movies I've seen. Like, you talk about theater experience. Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. I don't know if I made the point last week, but yeah, it's just like old, just like it just brought back kind of like childhood memories of, like, the magic of movies. You know, like, it just had that feeling like an E.T. You know, like, just, I don't know, man. It just made me feel different than, like, a regular big budget popcorn movie. It felt bigger than that. It had more gravity to it than that. And yeah, I mean, it's gonna win a lot of technical awards. It should. I'm just curious to see, like, what they're gonna do about these performances, which were excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's just one of those, like, if fucking Gladiator can get, like, I always come back to Gladiator. Because that's just what's supposed to be a popcorn movie. And then, like, people love the performances so much. I think Joaquin Phoenix got nominated and Russell Crowe won. Chalamet and the woman who plays his mom, I always forget her name, but she's a really talented actress. Like, she's, you know, she's been in the Mission Impossible joints, and, like, she was in my kid's Rebecca Ferguson. Like, they love her in The Greatest Showman. Like, she was in that joint with Hugh Jackman. But, yeah, she always gives a great performance. And, you know, just because she's an it girl, like, Zendaya was good, too. I'm just curious what they're going to do with this movie come award time, because it's kicking ass at the box office, as it should. Like, that, I knew after I saw it, like, before the, even the first box office returns came in. Like, I saw it on a Friday, you know? I was like, yeah, this joint about to cook. Yeah, man. I can't say enough about, like, where I would place it historically. It's definitely in one of the, I would put it in the top 20 movies I've ever seen in my life. That's how highly I think of it. And, like, as far as theater experience, yeah, easily in the top 10, maybe top 5. Yeah. It's been a while since a movie has given me those kind of feelings, you know? Like, you bring up Avatar, definitely the first Avatar, like you said, because of the visuals, because it was so different. It was such a substantial leap in just how 3D technology was used. It just looked different from other 3D. That's up there, too. I've never made any, like, secret, like, the Avatar story, like, that's fine. I can take it or leave it. But visuals is why I go see Avatar. Yeah, man. Like, it's just amazing. Like I was saying, like,
it's different.
Yeah, that, just that particular story about, like, a downtrodden people looking for their savior. Like, dog, it never fails if you do it right. Like, I didn't cry. Like, I was too into it to, like, cry. Like, I was on some rah-rah shit. I was like, yeah, dog. Like, I want him to kill everybody. But, yeah, like, you're going to get people with that story, with that type of story. And, you know who else was good? Like, Chris Walken was real good, you know? Like, Chris Walken, he always good. But, dog, he was creepy as shit. Like, in that Chris Walken way. But, like, you know how the Emperor in Star Wars, like, is, like, campy creepy?
Yeah.
This motherfucker was creepy for real, you know?
He was entitled creepy, young, which made it seem real, young.
Right. Right. He wasn't like a fairy tale monster creepy.
Yeah.
He was just like evil. And just how conflicted Florence Pugh was, like, as his daughter, like, I was just watching her during the fight scene, yeah. Yeah. She's a top tier actress, yeah.
That's the thing about this shit, young. Everybody brought their A-plus game, young. Javier, like, man, dog, like, as much as Shyamalan's getting, you know, his praise and shit, young, man, Austin Butler owned every scene he was in, young.
Yeah, he was excellent. He's a great villain. That's another thing a movie needs. Like, great villain, dog.
Dog, he did not give a fuck, young. He was evil just for the sake of being evil, young.
I know, dog. I was like, hey, no bullshit tone. Every time somebody would talk to him, I was like, just don't talk to him.
Yeah,
he gonna kill you, young.
Like, he gonna slice your neck, young.
I was like, just don't talk to him. If he ain't ask you a question, don't say nothing to this man, you know. Just be quiet.
His knife might as well been that motherfucking bat walking around that table, young. Just leave him alone, young.
Yeah, he was scary as fuck. No bull.
Dog, did you peep, like, man, look. After this shit was over, I came in the house, like, most of the weekend when I wasn't out. it's all been fucking breakdowns of this fucking movie and shit. I didn't know that that scene in the in like the arena and shit wasn't black and white, you know. It was infrared.
Oh, okay.
Because when they first entered the fucking arena and shit, man, the light from the other side of the arena is going through his ears, and you can actually see the pigment and shit. But okay. They're saying that the light actually hits the arena in that shadow is what makes everything look black and white, but it's actually an infrared camera.
Crazy, yeah, that's cool. I just thought it was some shit they did in post.
Well, infrared actually makes it like really, really bright. So in post, they did like add shades to it, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So that shit was incredible. And then that last fight scene, I was like, what's making this shit so epic, young? And it's the fact that they ain't use no fucking score, young. It was just sword clanks and grunts.
Young. What I done told y'all about a score, young? It get in the way sometimes. That's why I be shitting on Chris Nolan sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you just need ambient noise, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's much more like severe on your senses. Like you hear everything.
Yeah. It puts you more in the moment. It's more immersive.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like yeah, I hate a motherfucking score during some action scene. Like, you go back and watch an old motherfucking Spielberg movie and motherfucking John Williams be acting stupid as shit with that music, dog. And Indy be running and shit and they be like, dun 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 dun. I'd be like, man, stop that shit, man. Just let him run. You ain't got to make noise every time somebody move. But yeah, it was beastly, you know. I like how they stole Arya's move in that knife switch hand, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was smiling. I said, mm-hmm. He stole her move, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's masterful, you know. Like, I still need to go back and watch this this Dune 2000. I think it was like a 3-part miniseries on Sci-Fi, but I went back and watched that 84 joint, you know, and it was trying to match up all these characters, dog. Like,
nope, cause the who was that supposed to be playing? My man, Stellan Skarsgård. You know, I forgot the name of the character he played, but when I saw that shit in that 1984 joint in the trailer, I said, I'm not watching this. Yeah. I said, ain't no way I'm watching this.
He looked like a big, more evil version of Danny DeVito as that penguin, you know?
Yeah. It was some bullshit.
But you know what, though? It was good and terrible, you know? Just because I have something to compare it to, like, you know, something to compare it to, and I'm just trying to, you know, match up the characters. Like, have you ever gone back on Prime and watched What's that fucking joint about the comic book and then the main character? Everybody's pressed to find this comic book and shit. What's the shit that it just came out and they redid it a few years ago, and it was actually a British miniseries, and then they redid it here in America. God damn it, man. I'm about to look it up. I'm going to go ahead, though.
Anyway, what'd you think, Kenny? You ain't
I mean, I ain't got a whole lot to add, man. Y'all pretty much said it, though. As far as, like, movies all time, top 20, yeah, I can see that. I think, like, just going to see it in the theater 100% helped. I definitely think this is one of the types of movies that I don't think you're going to get the full effect just by watching at the crib. Like, unless you have like a theater at home.
You still, though, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get the, like, the full movie going experience that, like, going to see it in a Dolby theater. I've heard it's great in IMAX as well. But this is one of those movies that you definitely should see, like, in the on the biggest screen that you can see. Just the scale of it. Yeah, it's just a, like a masterclass in filmmaking on every mm-hmm. level. Like, there's not one part of this movie that dragged. There's not one part of it. And I was like, that looked shitty. And like I said last week, man, like, it's just hard to watch this and to go back and watch some of the bullshit that, like, DC has been putting out for the last couple of years. I think I even said last week, like, I watched this, and, like, the next day I tried to watch the new Aquaman movie. And it looked like some fan film type shit. Like, I didn't even, like, get through maybe 15, 20 minutes of it. And I was like, dude, I can't watch this shit. Like, after considering what I saw last night, and I'm like, yeah, this is somebody that, like, has really, really, really thought out, like, this universe, how he's going to tell this story, like, the technical aspects of it, man. Like, it's hard to even kind of, like, wrap my mind around. Like, what they had to do to make parts of this movie look the way that they did. Even something as simple as, like, in the beginning, it's like maybe the first 5-10 minutes of the movie. I don't know who this was. I don't know if it's the Harkonnens, whoever it was. The people that had them suits on, they came to the desert planet, and they had to try to get up that mountain, and they just kind of floated to the top of the mountain. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
That shit looks sweet.
Yeah. I was like, something like as simple as that, right? But how they made it look.
And sound.
I'm like, yeah, this person knows what they're doing.
Right.
But, like, how can he get it so right? And then you see something that has a similar budget, and they get, like, stuff like that so wrong, you know? It felt like I was, like, in some parts, like I was watching a documentary. Like, I wasn't even really watching a movie.
Right.
That's how well, like, how well shot it was, and, like, just how much I was immersed in it. It made me feel like this actually was, like, a living world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I can't applaud that dude enough, man. Like, this is a cinematic achievement, and, like, sitting in it, it made me think about, like, how this ranks all time, like, science fiction movies and, like, movies just in general. But, like, movie-going experiences, like, I start thinking about, like, how I felt leaving, like, Infinity War, or how I felt leaving Rogue One, how I felt leaving Empire Strikes, like, even going back to that, how I felt leaving Saving Private Ryan. I saw that down at Union Station.
Okay, yeah.
Slim. Like, I went to go see that with Bob. He, like, saw it before I did and was like, I want to see it again. He was like, Ken, you need to see this movie. Man. He was like, the first 20, 30 minutes of this movie is fucking nuts.
Yep.
You've never seen nothing like it before. You have to see this in the movie theater. He cites it that much, and I went to see it, and, like, yeah, I walked out of that movie like, this is like a cinematic, like, achievement by Steven Spielberg. Like, this is a joint that he's going to be judged by. Like, if we're being honest, all the movies that he did, you know, there were movies that made more money, but, like, that's the movie he'll be remembered for. Like, that's his magnum opus to me.
Yeah. Again, no score.
Yeah.
You just heard bullets.
You just heard bullets.
Yeah, it gets in the way, you know.
So, yeah, man.
I'll add one more to that. Now I'm thinking about it because you mentioned Union Station, man. Me, Marvin, and Malik went to go see T2, young. Had no idea what the fuck we was in for, young.
Mm-hmm. Great fucking movie, young.
Like, off the top, young. Like, fuck your story, young. We getting right to it, young.
Yeah.
That series I was thinking about, too, was on Utopia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen, like, the British version, which is the OG, like, it's just showing you, like, different levels of budget and, like, you know, I'm sure it'd be some purists say, no, the acting was better in the first one. I know it wasn't, but, you know. Everybody's entitled to it. Wrong ass opinion. Cool, whatever. But, you know, just the, just comparing those actors, man. We got a little bit of a young, but in that third film, young, his sister is going to be such a little know-it-all bitch, and I cannot wait, young.
Yeah.
She born with that shit, dog. She is going to be cooking, young. Cannot wait.
So this was a planned trilogy by him.
Well, they've been very mum on that because
right. After I didn't first think they already announced a third one, right? I guess people just assume it's going to be a third one because of how well it's done. But
yeah, because after the first one, they were like, "Well, we've only committed to two, but you know, it's really supposed to be you know a trilogy, and you know, there are six books, Sean, so." There's that, but it'd be taking weird ass turns, young. Like the shit I've been like reading and watching, young. Like Jason Momoa's character, young. Like apparently he gets resurrected like 4 or 5 times, young. So they can keep on bringing him back from the story, and yeah, just a lot of crazy and weird turns in this shit. If they really want to stay 100% true to the story, which they haven't already, so you know. Some liberties they can take to you know make it more interesting and shit, man. But yeah, great shit. Like dog, just watching motherfuckers, these nerds argue about whether he's Luke or Anakin, young. He both, young. Like he both, and he probably ends up being worse than Anakin, young. But you know. I mean, you can see the motherfucking heel turn as this shit goes on. Like, it's the reason he ain't want to motherfucking go south, young, because he knows what his path is when he goes south, dog. But at the end of the day, like, he had to choose the lesser two evils and shit, man. So he went south. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Zendaya was like, yeah, I'm the fuck up out of here, young.
Mm-hmm. That's an attractive woman, by the way, young.
Yeah. Guess.
Nah, I mean, just, yeah. She looked really good in this movie, man.
I mean, I can see that. Like, I just look at some women at a certain age and shit and just like, you know, they cute kids, you know. But I guess I can see it, though, you know.
Yeah, I have my categories, you know. She's pretty.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah, she's 27,
man. Yeah. Oh, you gonna hold it in, you know?
I was gonna make sure, you know? Like, yeah.
What's the cutoff, you
know? Ain't really a cut. I mean, I think by the time you're late 20s, you know, yeah, it's like a woman, you know?
Well, nigga, if you're naming the age, there has to be a cutoff. What are we talking, 23?
I don't know, yeah.
I just threw that out there because it feels right. I don't feel comfortable commenting on 18. Teenagers, yeah, 18, 19, no.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say 23. I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine with 23.
23, yeah. By the time you're an adult, you're on your own. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some niggas don't care. They be having them countdown pages, you know. I be like, y'all are nuts.
Countdown pages?
Yeah, I remember years ago hearing about the
Hey, yeah, go ahead, yeah.
The motherfucking
Go ahead, yeah.
I'm not even being funny, like the Olsen twins, like when the internet was like in its infancy, like niggas had a countdown page because Howard Stern used to talk about it. I was like, ugh.
So they turned what?
And nigga, I was young back then. I was like, a countdown before them? That's weird. Until they turned 18.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Nah,
sick bastard.
Niggas had that shit for what's that that fucking Catch Me Outside girl and shit, man. They had that shit for her too. As soon as she turned 18, she threw up that motherfucking OnlyFans, young, and niggas was buying it in droves, young. So it ain't nothing old, it ain't nothing new, well, young.
Yeah, hold up, yo. When do you start a countdown clock on somebody?
I don't know, you know.
That's something. Nah, wait, hold, you know. Wait a minute, you know. If you start a countdown clock on, come on, you know. See?
I don't know, but this was back when motherfucking Howard Stern wasn't like, it took him until he was 60 to become mature, you know. Because now Howard be taking shit seriously.
Like, yeah, he do. Yeah, that, yeah. You know what? That's a good point, you know? And like, especially like politically and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 25 years ago, motherfucking COVID hit, he wouldn't have gave him a fuck about nobody. He'd have been laughing like shit.
Hell yeah, he would have been laughing, you know?
He'd be like, John, take that mask off. Stop being a pussy. But now everything's so serious with him.
They'd have Baba Booey the shit out of COVID. Hey,
it would have been jokes nonstop.
They can't find a motherfucking mask to go over his face. Horse face and shit, you know?
Motherfucking Scott the Engineer would have caught it, you know? He'd have been partying, you know? So, Scott, did you think you were going to die? How scared were you, Scott? Them niggas would have been partying. I know, dog. Sometimes it makes me sad to see how grown up they act now. I'm like, y'all motherfuckers almost 70 years old trying to act like grown ups, you know? I'm like, if you almost at the end now, why not just ride it out? Like, that's what I used to love about y'all was how much y'all didn't give a fuck. And now all this being serious, like, nah, young. We got other people for serious shit. Mm-hmm. I come to you to be an immature old-ass dude, you know.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, that's a real good point.
But no, they used to talk about them pages on Howard Stern, and they had a countdown for them twins, you know.
I'm sorry. I was still cooking the Scotch.
Hey, yeah.
He ain't gonna fuck around middle of the ventilator. He ain't still been cooking them.
They didn't give a fuck, you know.
They didn't give a fuck.
Hey, Tom, remember I used to call you cooking how Jackie used to get Howard mad because he used to party when shit would go wrong on Howard, you know? Because Howard didn't like being laughed at. Like, Howard liked laughing at everybody else. Uh-huh. But Jackie was the only one not scared to laugh at Howard, you know? When he wouldn't get invited to an award show or some shit, Jackie would be like, why would they invite you? He'd be cooking him, you know? And he'd be like, that's enough, Jackie. Shut the fuck up, Jackie. Like, you not gonna tell me shut the fuck up? Like, yeah, they used to get into it. Jackie had to lead the show, you know? They fell out for real, you know, because Jackie used to party on him. Yeah. I think my favorite episode is when, I forgot what it was. I think they recorded Scott doing some push-ups or something. Do you remember this, Kenny?
I'm trying to remember.
And they followed Scott down the hall, and he was like, get out of my face! And he just kept screaming. He's like, get out of my face! Get out of here! And he slammed the door, you know? Man, motherfucking Howard looked like he was about to piss on himself, you know? Scott was mad as shit, you know? That nigga John was partying and stuttering, following him down the hall. You know? Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think we got any more on Dune 2. Y'all watching that Shogun yet?
Not yet. I'm going to start, though.
I've been told that it's great now. I've been doomed out, you know.
Nah, I get it. I might be like you and look at some fan stuff about it, some theories and stuff. Yeah, get prepared for the third one.
Oh man, and it's just so many agendas and different paths you could go down. Like, you know, you got Doom fans who've been waiting on this shit, like when motherfucking Star Trek fans finally got something to celebrate early 2000s when it came back.
Oh, no. I've definitely got to go to the boards and look at some YouTube. I forgot all about that. I always get caught up in comic book nerd wars, but sci-fi nerds are just as, like, crazy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You got your Alien franchise fans. You know, you got obviously Star Wars, Star Trek. But I didn't even realize, Doom. Yeah, they've been waiting too. So, yeah, I know they cooking right now. I know they cooking.
People who were shitting on that first one, niggas came back. I told you.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I can't do nothing but be happy for him, young. Like, if you lasted this long, young, like, they be talking about that 84 joint as a masterpiece. That's why I had to go back and watch it. Now, like, now, wait a minute. Maybe I just need to, like, look at it from a perspective of it being, like, nah, it's.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Young, Sting looking like a motherfucking Dragon Ball Z type character. Hey, young, it's pretty good. But then, young, like, it's levels, young. These motherfucking right wings, young, they, like, it's the first non-woke blockbuster. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This one dude said, I hope Zendaya gets on that fucking, on that worm and never comes back.
Hey, young. Oh, my God, that's racist as fuck, young.
Hold on. Hey, Tom, my bad. I called the tail end of that, young. Can you say that one more time, young?
He said, I hope Zendaya hop on that worm and never come back, young.
Who said that, young?
These motherfucker conservative YouTubers, dog. Like, dog, it's a whole community of motherfuckers who have said that this is the first non-woke blockbuster, young.
That's crazy to me, young. Yeah.
Hey, young, it's all good to me, young. It's all good to me, young. Like, everybody got different agendas and different, like, shit that they celebrating and, like, but nobody hating, young. Like, this is the first shit. Huh. Like, what's the name? Had a whole fucking show about this shit. What's the dude's name? What's the conservative dude's name with the motherfucking, black hair and the motherfucking part and shit, young. What's his name?
Ben Shapiro?
Yep. He on that non-woke blockbuster shit too, young. I watched his breakdown of this shit, dog. I'm like, young.
He on getting paid. Do he even talk about movies that much, young? Like, that don't even seem like something that's in. Yeah. He just, Just content.
Everybody gotta take, young. Everybody gotta take, young. So, just trying to get everybody's perspective, and you know, it's a little bit to take from everybody. I ain't gonna lie and shit, man. As well as like consuming more and more of it, young. But man, everybody got their fucking theories about how this next movie gonna go and shit, dog. So I'm just waiting, young. They bringing out fucking Palestine, like, dog. It's everywhere, young. They applying this shit to everything, dog. Like, it's some motherfucking tussin.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Everybody want a piece of the pie, yeah. Yeah.
Shit, I forgot what I was about to bring up. Yeah, if y'all ain't got, I don't have anything else to say about Dune, though.
Yeah, me neither.
Nope. Yeah. Other than go see it if you haven't seen it. Nigga. I just wanted to bring up, me and Sean are terrible talked about Poor Things on what you've been watching, yeah. Because I wanted to see why she won this award. Because it was supposed to go to Lily Gladstone for, what's that shit? Killers of the Flower Moon. Right? Like, she was the odds-on favorite. And she had won, like, all the awards leading up to the Oscars. Like, all the major acting awards. I watched this shit, yeah. This shit is about a woman who kills herself. It takes place in like the early 20th century. I think in somewhere in the northeast in America. Or maybe it's in Europe. I'm not sure. I think it's in Europe, actually. So She kills herself, and Willem Dafoe plays like this genius surgeon, and he's also a teacher or whatever. And he takes this body. They drag this woman out of the river. She jumped off a bridge. This is Emma Stone, by the way. She killed her. Her character killed herself. And she was pregnant. So he cuts into the cadaver. She hadn't been dead that long. But he determines, like, okay, he's going to try to reanimate this lady, but she's dead. So he has to take out the baby brain and put it in her body, put it in the adult body. So her child's brain is going into her head. And, you know, it's supposedly he's saving her life, but really it's a fucking science experiment. And obviously it has like shades of Frankenstein and shit. So he's essentially playing like Dr. Frankenstein. Yeah, man. So the movie is about like him observing like this child's development in this adult body. And the child is like learning at a rapid pace. Like, it's not taking years to learn. Like, it's taking months. Just picking up language quickly, coordination, social cues, like, just learning what it means to be human. And all that's fine and good. And then the sex comes in. Nigga, this child discovers like her private parts. So Emma Stone just at the dining room table just eating out of nowhere. And for some reason, nigga, she takes an apple and rubs it on her crotch. Next thing you know, nigga, she trying to like, they don't show it, but like they just show her face, just like her reaction to trying to shove this apple inside herself, you know. And like, nigga, I'm just not mature enough for this. I'm not, you know. I was like, I turned to my wife, I said, what the fuck is going on? She like, yeah, man, she trying to put the apple up there. I'm like, for real? Like, that's crazy. And it don't stop there, nigga. Like, she kind of realizes, like, you know, she likes it, like, touching herself. Nigga, this nigga Mark Ruffalo come out of nowhere. Because Willem Dafoe had been keeping, like, her to himself. Like, he wasn't into her sexually or whatever. Like, he was basically, like, raising a child and, like, just observing her, like I said, like a science experiment. Nigga, Mark Ruffalo basically steals her. Like, she goes willingly because she wants to see the outside world. Nigga, they start having sex. She starts, like, loving sex so much. They fucking all the time. And I'm just watching this, like, nigga, they gave her the Oscar for this. All she was doing was showing titties and fucking, you know. It was insane, you know. I was like, so, because I was wondering why conservatives were so mad about this movie, you know. And it was because of that child's brain and an adult's body shit. So, moving forward, like, Mark Ruffalo loses all his money and he can't support them. So, she becomes a hoe, you know. She becomes a whore. She, like, she works in a whorehouse. And nigga, she's just getting ran through. Just ran through, you know. Like, at one point, I look up. I went to go get myself, like, a bottle of water. I come back, I look at the TV, nigga. It looked like Ryan Fitzpatrick is fucking her, you know. Like, no bull. It looked like Fitzmagic is up in them guts. It was just a big white dude with a big-ass beard, you know. Big blonde, like, looked just like him, you know. And I was like, this is crazy, you know. I texted Russell Hainlein and them in my, okay. I was like, why y'all ain't tell me that's what this movie was about, you know? Everybody just was laughing at me, you know? And I was like, and this nigga a simp, you know? Like, it was a student of Willem Dafoe's, like, that was in love with her. And the whole time she was gone, like, he was just wondering, like, when she coming back? And it reminded me so much of Forrest Gump, you know. I was disgusted, because I hate Forrest Gump. As I've gotten older, like, Forrest Gump makes me sick, you know. Even though, like, he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, this nigga was a motherfucking, like, genius level student. And yeah, he was simping, you know. He was waiting for her to come back from her whoring ways, you know. And yeah, like, they got married and stuff at the end. Yeah, man. So yeah, me and Sean was just like cooking off this movie, you know, because if you watch it, you're gonna be into it like for the first like 30 minutes, like, let's see where it's going. But yeah, man, I done gave y'all all the spoilers up front, because yeah, I know half of y'all be mad as shit if I didn't. So if you gonna watch it, that's what it is, you know. And then, like, I get it, it's supposed to be like women's empowerment, like she's not a whore, like she's taking control of her body. Nigga, she was selling ass. I don't know what else to say. She was selling ass with a baby brain, you know. That's crazy, you know. That, like, Hollywood going crazy, you know. Like, that's worse than the woman who was fucking the fish and almost won an Oscar, you know. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these movies, you know.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Keep doing, man, what you've been doing, yo.
What's the name of this?
Warn Us.
It's called Poor Things.
Yeah. Keep doing this, young. Warn Us, so we don't have to watch shit like that.
Yeah, it snuck. It definitely snuck up on me, dog. I was not expecting that.
Isn't this joint like streaming on Max or some shit like that?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it is on Amazon Prime. I saw it.
Yeah, like, I know I've seen it somewhere. Well, thanks, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I just wanted to see why she won the Oscar. Like, if I wanted to see it, I'd have went to the movies to see it. I wasn't into it. Even when they was promoting it all last summer, like, it was in every trailer package last summer, you know? And I'm just like, I don't want to see that. That looks stupid. But yeah, I finally sat down and watched it, and yep, did not know that's what it was about, you know?
Complete. Yeah, I saw a snippet about, I don't know where I saw this joint, but it's like she was walking, I think she was talking to Margot Ruffalo's character, and said something about, like, you didn't understand that when I was a whore or something like that, and the way she said it, and I was like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it was wild. It was a wild ride, yeah, for sure.
All right, Sam. Wasn't able to catch Sean and Rick this week. Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'll probably, damn. Yeah, tomorrow, I might watch it after I finish up here, young. I was like, it was either that or Curb, young. So I was like, let me go ahead and watch Curb.
Curb was great, yeah. Me and Sean talked about that too. I was like, I hope Essence Atkins gets a recurring role for the remaining episodes, because she was great, man. Yeah, they had chemistry. I was like, they fucking in real life? Because it ain't like, you know, he robbing a cradle. I think she in her 50s, you know?
Early 50s.
She just looked good. Yeah, she looked good.
For real?
She been yeah. Too, yeah. I looked it up.
She just looked good. Yeah.
No, I actually wrote a text to y'all to say, hey, you know, X is, like, while I was watching shit live, like, you know, she's 52 years old, though.
Yeah, she just looks good. Her and Rachel True, you know, from The Craft, you know? Yeah. Oh, my goodness, they look good, you know? I think Rachel True is like 56 now, you know?
Yeah.
Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm. All right, Keith, what you watching, man?
Curb. Like you said, it was excellent this week. I really think that's it, dog.
Okay. All right. So I'll get into my rant about old niggas doing anything for views on YouTube later. But yesterday. Man, that's like, dog, I can't really cook these young niggas as much as I want to, young, because these old niggas going out bad these days, young. They doing anything for views, young. So, yesterday I woke up and some false information was out there that Loaded Lux, battle rapper, had passed. So I was like, you know, I don't go to Twitter for much, but I do go there to, like, you know, verify, you know, get some fucking verification on, like, you know, news about people dying and in the hospital, accidents happening and shit. So early yesterday morning, I went there to find out, you know, if this shit was true, which it wasn't. But then, like, looking at them trending topics and shit, man, I saw Drake Bell was was trending and shit. So I saw he had, like, this little music video, so I watched that shit. And yeah, very disturbing. You know, it's basically about him being like groomed and shit as a fucking child actor and shit, man. So I'm like, damn, like, what's this all about, whatever, man? Because all I heard was, like, that he was a dirtbag and shit, and he did something to a little girl, or, you know, was sending, like, inappropriate texts and shit to a minor and shit at one point or whatever. So I'm like, what's this about? So then I found out that it was, like, attached to this new documentary that I think premiered on ID, but all four parts are up on HBO Max now. It's just called Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. Mm-hmm. So, Sam, you probably might know more about this than like Kenny or I, because, you know, you had young like nieces and nephews and shit during, like, the late 90s and early 2000s. But I don't know shit about no fucking Nickelodeon or Disney, young, other than, like, the obvious shit. Like, you know, I know Keenan and Kel. I know what Ariana Grande, because of fucking, like, she dated Big Sean and shit, but I ain't never seen her as a fucking kid actress, dog. I have, until recently, I had no idea who the fuck Amanda Bynes was, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, no point of reference, like, and why the fuck would I, you know? Like, early 2000s, I was, you know, I wasn't on fucking Nickelodeon, you know, like, all that and all that shit, man. Like, dog, I don't know these fucking shows, John.
Me neither.
Okay, so, you know, but I did notice that, you know, the executive producer and the creator of a lot of these shows was Dan Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
A.K.A. the fat kid from, say, from
Head of the Class.
So I'm like, bro, I had no idea he was behind, like, all these hit shows and shit, man. So this really started out as him just being, like, you know, a bad fucking boss and an egomaniac and, you know, a narcissist. And he just created a toxic work environment. Was really cruel to fucking women in general, who, like, writers on the shows, whatever. They kind of, like, touch on it, but they really can't get anybody to commit to anything he really did wrong with Amanda Bynes. But he was inappropriately, like, you know, close and touchy feeling with her or whatever. Even she hasn't said anything, but her fucking life has kind of, like, gone down the shit or whatever. I think she's, like, trying to celebrate now, becoming a nail technician or whatever. So yeah, a lot there, but it's this one story in particular about Drake Bell. Like, this shit is heartbreaking, young. Like, and it's no one to blame here but his mother. So, his father used to be his fucking manager and shit. And there's this dude, like, I guess on one of the shows, his name was Pickle Guy or whatever. And the actor looks familiar. He's been in some other shit or whatever, man. And he was trying to groom this kid, young, but his father saw that shift from the top and was like, nah, you're not going to be around my son when I'm not here and shit, you know? And, like, yeah, man. Like, he went to the fucking producers and everybody's like, man, look, something wrong with this dude, man. Like, I ain't fucking with him, and y'all need to look into this motherfucker and shit, man. they said they did their due diligence. You're fucking right. And at one point, like, he had this house in L.A. that all the kids used to come to. And, you know, the parents who fucking cared and shit, whatever. And he had, like, this, like, shrine of, like, toys and shit in his damn garage and shit. And then he had this one picture of a fucking clown that did that, that kind of seemed out of place and shit, man. The picture was a signed autograph from John Wayne Gacy, who he was pen pals with. And nobody found this shit fucking weird, man. Or a damn tip off. So this motherfucker was just like enamored with fucking Drake Bell or whatever. So Drake had like a little boy band and shit. So he would drive hours to go see him and shit, man. His dad was like, this motherfucker is weird. I don't fuck with him. So he finally knew he had to get his dad out to paint and shit. So his dad and his mom had gotten separated or whatever. So he started driving this wedge between Drake and his mom and his dad and whatever. And he said, you know, your dad is stealing your money, da da da. So he got him to not, fire him as his damn agent and shit. And kind of like, you know, put him on the back burner, you know, with his career and like this interaction with his son or whatever. So the dad was like, okay, like, you know, this is what the courts, you know, decided and shit, man. Like, his mom was his new manager and was like, whatever you do, never leave this motherfucker alone with our son. She letting the motherfucker spend the night over there and shit, unsupervised, whatever. She is the worst mother of all time, you know. Like, they sat Drake down for this interview, dog. Like, man, it was so fucking sad and awkward and shit, man. He was like, you know, the producer's like, well, you know, we can talk about what you want to talk about as much as you want to talk about it, whatever. He's like, I don't want to talk about it, but let's just say this. Anything that you can think of that would be the worst thing in the world that a man could do to a child, let's just say he did that. And I said, God damn! How much can a fucking parent fail their fucking kid when the father told you this motherfucker was a weirdo, you know? It was infuriating, you know? It was infuriating, you know? Like, man, that dude's father was crying and shit, young. Like, yeah, man. Don't advocate it, young, but I would have beat the shit out that bitch, young. Seriously, young, like, that dude fucked up for the rest of his life, young, and it could have been prevented, young. Huh. And the father saw this shit, young, so that's, and like, yeah, you know, fast forward or whatever, man, like, this motherfucker only had to do, like, fucking, like, 18 months, Sean. 18 months and shit, man. And
I read that.
And I'm glad this shit's getting traction right now, whatever. Like, when he was getting sentenced or whatever, a whole bunch of fucking famous people were giving him, like, letters of recommendation and support and shit in court. Like, Drake said, like, when he did a sentence or whatever, like, all these motherfuckers showed up to his motherfucking trial on his side, while his side was just like empty, like him and his parents and shit, you know. Among those is motherfucking Alan Thicke,
yep. Marsden, James that Marsden was heart. There. Yeah,
that broke my heart because Marsden, my dog, you know. Like, but yeah, to the trash you go, you know. Like, so we don't know how much they knew and shit, man. But like at the sentencing, you know, this motherfucker was diddling kids, you know. So come on, yeah. Come on. But yeah, man. Holly weird, man. Holly weird, dog. Like, there's some other, like, you know, shit in here, like how the black kids on these shows were treated as opposed to the white kids. They had this one black kid, you know, like, they made this motherfucker, like, smear his whole body with peanut butter, and then dogs, like, lick the shit off and shit. Like, what would you do? I guess that was the name of the show or the segment or whatever. And he was like, I do not like this, Sean. And, yeah, he had a black mama, and she stood up to the motherfucking producer and shit, man. I was like, see, this is what a mother's supposed to do, you know? Not the shit this bitch allowed her fucking son to be subjected to. So, yeah, man, just a really, like, eye-opening and, like, it supports all the fucking weird shit you always hear about the casting couch and all this other bullshit that happens in Hollywood, especially when it comes to fucking young kids whose parents are kind of just blinded because they're now the cash cow. I know it's terrible, but you know, I guess if you were a kid who grew up in like the late 90s or early 2000s and watched a lot of like Nickelodeon and Disney and shit like that, I'd definitely suggest you watch this shit and see what the fuck some of your favorite actors were going through and shit, man. So
yeah, I don't think I want to watch it. You know? Like, I mean, I'm following it. Following it for sure. And I started to watch Snyder's interview with, I think it was I forgot. It wasn't TMZ. It was like Hollywood something. I think it was Hollywood Insider Magazine. Something, one of them, it was like a trade magazine. And I just couldn't watch it. I said, I ain't watching this, you know. So I'm just kind of reading, like, the nightly updates. But, yeah, like, Amanda Bynes' head is fucked up. So something definitely happened to her.
Yeah.
I knew her from, like, she like, had a couple of hit movies, and then she just kind of, like, yeah, she just kind of lost it, you know.
One of the most disgusting things is after this dude did his fucking 12 or 18 months of shit, Disney hired his ass back again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck, man? Or Nickelodeon. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Boy, oh boy. Yeah. That one girl who was on, I guess, Amanda's show. There's a black girl in there, and like they asked her if she would ever allow her kids to be in Hollywood. She said, "Not. I wouldn't even think about it for a second."
She's
like, "This place is evil." So, I ran to that shit yesterday. So, back to Dune I go. So much much happier place where, you know, only 62 billion people die because of somebody's heel turn. Alright, so Kenny, you have your weekly racism wake your ass up update?
I do. Headline is, he's mishandling me. Y'all might hear about this. White woman claims she was thrown downstairs by black bouncer at Chicago restaurant, but video footage tells a different story. The legal battle between a TikToker and a Chicago restaurant is quickly gaining steam online after a woman posted a viral video claiming a restaurant security personnel assaulted her and threw her down the stairs. Julia Real, whose handle is at Julia Real on TikTok, posted a now-deleted video in which she discussed her March 10 visit to Hubbard Inn, a restaurant in the River North area of Chicago. In it, she claimed that a bouncer violently handled her and a friend as they were escorted out of a bathroom on the restaurant's second floor. Quote, I'm immediately grabbed by this man and he's grabbing my arm. He's pushing me. He's manhandling me, the 22-year-old said, adding that security even screamed at her before shoving her down two sets of stairs. I'm just pushed down. He sends me flying down the staircase, real claim. Hysterical at this point. I think I start to kind of yell, scream back at him, kind of push back at him. And he takes me a second time and shoves me again and sends me flying down the rest of the staircase. The TikTok video was reportedly viewed more than 100,000 times before Real took it down. She even went private on the platform. Hubbard N. swiftly filed a lawsuit against Real, claiming she defamed the restaurant and that the business had to weather a barrage of negative reviews and threats from the public because of her video. The restaurant staff also posted a video of their own on social media that included security footage showing Real being escorted safely out of the restaurant. At no point in the video is she seen being shoved or manhandled by security, as she claimed. She and her friend are seen walking down the stairs while a bouncer points in the direction of an exit. The lawsuit states that Real and her friend had to be escorted out because they were verbally abusive to staffers in the restroom. Despite the footage shows, Real's attorneys aren't buying Hubbard's in defense. They called the restaurant's video self-serving and claimed the investigation revealed facts entirely contrary to the misleading narrative provided on social media by Hubbard Inn. Her lawyers allege there's a 2-minute gap unaccounted for in the security footage the restaurant released, and that the area where real quote-unquote several injuries was not videotaped. The restaurant confirmed they don't have security cameras in every part of their venue, and that the video they released does show 8 steps of the staircase. They also said the edited videos only have a 45-second gap. Real's attorney said their client was treated for a concussion and bruises to her arm and head at a hospital after the alleged incident and filed a police report. Respectfully, we urge the public to hold off on arrest and judgment and on victim shaming until all of the evidence is presented in the court of law. Real's attorneys wrote a video statement. Yeah, that shit ain't happened, dog. So.
Thank God for video.
Yeah, man. There's video cameras everywhere now. I don't know if people don't understand this by now. Everywhere you go, your shit is being videotaped, dude. So.
Yeah,
Her
lawyer threw some shit in the game talking about, yeah, that's not even a part of the place where it happened at, part of the restaurant where it happened at, you know?
Right.
So I guess they're trying to figure out a way, like, well, I guess they have found a place where they probably wouldn't be any cameras that they can say, like, this is where she was shoved and sustained injuries that she don't appear to have. Like, they said, like, the doctor said, like, she had a concussion and all that shit. I'm like, this lady better, like, have an airtight case that they can't poke holes through, because she gonna, like, they not playing with her.
No, they not.
So, you can't think, like, you just gonna be white and be up there lying, you know?
Right.
And that's what it seemed like.
But I think that's what she thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the last update I got yesterday. I went to her page, and she had just posted a video, and the video was just the letter from her lawyer saying she sustained the injuries in a place in the facility where they did not provide videotape. Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, this is where she sustained the injuries, so they ain't give y'all no tape of that. Ha. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. Is witnesses and shit there? Like, yeah. you better come up with something, you know.
Hey, yeah. What if this was just a play because she won't pay for that pie, you know?
It ain't gonna be worth it, you know. Because this is pretty serious, man.
Oh, man.
It's just the way she was treating me. I was, like, watching her. Like, I was like, ugh, she like a little spoiled brat, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, she going to end up getting some money taken out of her pocket or out of her family's pocket. Like, they not playing with her, man.
Yeah,
like, you fucking with their livelihood, their business that right. they've built. Like, you think you going to tear it down mm-hmm. with a lion? Like, mm-hmm. yeah, they coming after her.
Yeah. Good luck with that, you
know. No bullshit.
Everybody's time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to get my little update on TikTok, because, man, I saw that video on Twitter. I was like, let me see what she got to say about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I typed in her motherfucking username, and I went to her page with nothing up there but that letter from her legal team. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, she lying. Mm-hmm. You better drop that shit and move on with your life, you know. I think this will probably end with her just giving an apology and saying it was a misunderstanding or some shit. Because people on TikTok, like, bruh, like, Twitter moves fast. I keep telling people, like, TikTok moves faster. Somehow, even though it's video, it moves faster. Like, there's been an outpouring of support for, what's it called, the Hubbard Inn?
Hubbard Inn.
Yeah, people riding for that place, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, people have already, like, started to say, like, yeah, we're going to go just to support the restaurant. Yep. So it's not like, you know, they're going to go out of business or whatever, because they've proven, like, this lady's a liar and she's entitled. And she just spoiled and she just didn't want, she got put out and embarrassed. And she think, like, she can just, you know, kind of tear our shit up, and it's not gonna happen. So the TikTok community, they done spontaneously got behind that institution. So she's short, you know. So she better apologize and move the fuck on with her life before some money come out of her pocket. Yep. End up washing dishes back there or something, you know. Mm-hmm. That shit won't be cute.
All right, Bob, what's the outrage for the week?
I just want to talk about two things, you know. So, act picking on women again. And by women, I'm talking about Meek Mill, you know. He's still cooking him, you know.
I listened to the whole Quilly interview today, you know, and that's after I listened to Pound Side Pop yesterday and former Dream Chaser Dean the day before, young. He going on a Philly tour, young.
I didn't watch Dean's interview because I was like, just the fact that he said, I said, I'm sure got what he needed out of this interview, so I don't even need to know the details, young. Like, he got Meek's man riding against him. I said, that's all I needed right there. Because, look, Meek should have left him alone. We've been telling people for years, Tone, like, okay, you don't like Act. Understandable. But Act covers his tracks. He is who he says he is, you know. Like, he's a nerd who stays in his house, and he will get dirt on you, you know. And he not a street dude. Like, he kind of like Charleston, but he not as ignorant. He will call the police. He will take, like, the legal route. So just be professional and leave him alone and let him cook you. If you gonna fuck with him, if you fuck with him, he gonna cook you. So you can not like Act all you want to, young, but as far, even like, what was that, his girl, young? He could have flamed her up, you know. She talking about she got motherfucking assaulted in his house, and he videotaped every goddamn room in his house. He could have ruined her life, but he was being nice to her, you know. Because she stole that money. He just wanted her to Mike leave. Jordan too. Yeah, because he's stupid. He obviously got feelings for her for real, but if he wanted to be an asshole, she could have been done for, you know. But I don't know what Meek was thinking, y'all. Like, Meek he spiraled after that Puffy shit came out. And he took it out on Act because of their history or whatever. But it just seemed like that was something he should have taken on the chin. But for some reason, he chose to take the slant that Act was bad for the black community. And that offended Act so much, you know, that Act been on this crusade to, like, upend all the good that Meek Mill has been doing, like, you know, like trying to work with politicians to, you know, get laws, yeah, to get laws passed and shit. And you're letting it affect like your real life. Like, you have been trying to do good, but now you fucking with Act, and Act is pulling up receipts. Like, you say you're doing this good, but let's look at how you've changed your life. Let's look at what your art is still about. You still about killing niggas, you know? So you can't act like you trying to change your life, you know? You still the same dude.
He said he's still spinning the block with that same dusty-ass rollie, you know?
Yeah. They say he was driving through Philly with that check engine light on. I pulled up the video. I said, yeah, it was true. I said, oh, no. I said, he should have left this man alone, yeah. Them nerds notice everything, yeah.
Yeah. Man, Quilly was on there today, man, and he was like, man, Act, the trenches are riding for you, dog. He was
like, See?
He was like, Meek don't do nothing for us and shit, and in a week, you giving us more exposure. He was like, man, the trenches are riding for you, man. They said what we need to do. Well, what we need to do, I said, man. Yeah, Meek should just left it alone, you know. Like, the problem is, man, everybody think this is like 5-6 years ago when it was cool to just like blame Act for just arbitrary shit that go on because he's reported some shit on the internet. First of all, not everybody reports on the same shit or whatever. And he's better at it, and like you said, he covers his bases and got shit on everybody, so like, you know, when you shoot for the king, you bet not miss. And like, your shit better be ironclad, and Meek should know that his shit ain't ironclad, you know? And he keep on shooting himself in the foot. I'm like, just leave that boy alone, you know?
Yeah.
Because now he's invading your city, young, and he's exposing, like, not everybody saying, you know, just, like, taking it apart, like, dreams and nightmares, like, I'm the king of my city from north side. Like, man, he ain't never been to the south side. Like, he don't know nothing. Like, he ain't never did no fucking, like, putting no work. Like, he just sold, like, fucking dime bags. Like, he never been nothing but a dusty nigga with nappy braids. Like, man, I'm like, Meek, leave him alone, you know, just leave him alone. But every time Ak say something, instead of like thinking it through, he just say some crazy shit like, I got a mill, you know, in the tuck to put on somebody's head, and like just saying the dumbest things. I'm like, nigga, you having conversations with the governor and shit, you know, or just something else Ak cooking on. He's like, ain't that you working with the boys? I'm like, man. Like, everywhere he turn, you know, he get cooked. Like, just leave him alone, you know? Just leave him alone.
Yeah, just go on and do what you about to do. I was talking to someone, I forgot who it was. One of our listeners, you know, and we was like, yeah, we know. It was obviously, like, just a motherfucking ploy. But if Meek was smart, he could have been like, yeah, this is a verbal contract. When Ak offered him that contract, $1 million a year for an episode a week, you know?
Yeah.
Meek should have been like, you know what? Let's do it. That's easy money. And profit sharing, y'all, for ads.
But you can't, though, man.
I know, because Ak just was going to be like, you work for it. The whole thing was a setup. Yeah. That's why it was so good, you know? The whole thing was a boss,
but you work for me?
Yeah. So, hey, these streaming niggas so good. You see, not to get us off topic, you know, but just to make the point, you know, you see, Joe was about to start fucking with Kasanat, you know, and he did one show on it, then he left that young boy alone, you know.
He ought to, because
Kai was like, nigga, you know I could buy you, right? And I said, Joe, don't check the numbers. I said, check the numbers, because you don't want to know, you know.
Yep. Like, as much as I don't like fucking Aiden Ross, Sean, like, dog.
Yep.
He get paid more than Steph for doing that damn, for streaming, you know.
Hey,
you
know.
He make like $40 million a year, dog.
That's why Charleston is his uncle now, you know.
Right, because I just saw Charleston.
Charleston be in that house partying, you know.
Like, did you see, like, Charleston's whole fucking, like breakdown of when Aiden brought him to Vegas, Sean?
Mm-mm. Nah, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Charleston, like, I think he like, did the interview on State Cheese. It's like, man, the whole weekend, Aiden was, you know, trying to tell me he's trying to give me the sauce and shit, but first we gotta do this, first we gotta do that. And she's like, the whole weekend, he tried to get me to do some gay shit, you know, on camera or whatever. Just like, you know, not necessarily engaging it, but like being around a whole bunch of dudes with, like, you know, like at a motherfucking gay bar and shit. He's like, let's get some wings and shit, and it turned to be like motherfucking male Hooters and shit, man. He's
right,
like,
just fucking with him.
Just fucking with him the whole weekend. He's like, dude, I put up with that shit the whole weekend, but I exposed myself because I was trying to get the sauce and shit. Like, put me on the stream and shit, man. He was so mad. He's like, man, this white boy ain't gonna get me, man. A month later, young, he's sitting in his motherfucking living room. I mean, in his damn stream room, talking about, yeah, uncle on stream, y'all. Uncle on stream. I'm like, these niggas are just.
Hey, young.
Anything for views, young.
Charleston, hey, he building up quite the following, young. when he finally get his own shit, it's going to be successful, young, because he got an audience now.
Yeah.
And what make him so, like, I don't want to say bad, but just, like, like, I guess appealing is the word. Like, he actually not dumb, you know. Like, he be showing his cards, you know. He like, I got to talk like this to get you dumb niggas' attention, because this what y'all like. He like, I tried to do shit with the right way. He was like, I was up on the hill every other weekend working with the politicians, but y'all don't like that. He's like, so I got to be ignorant. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah, he said he's the updated version of Dolomite, young. That's his whole character.
Yeah. But yeah, man, so... Yeah, and, like, Freddie need to leave him alone, too, because Freddie... Yeah. Benny the Butcher partying on him, yeah. And Act tried... Freddie's smarter than me, because Act tried to bait him. Like, when Benny the Butcher put out them pictures, you know, Act tried to bait him. Freddie ain't responded, you know. He off that shit.
Yeah.
Smart move. That's all you can do with Act. Like, that's his kryptonite, you know. You ignore him, he don't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. That Joe shit, like, man, he better leave them boys alone and shit, because...
Oh.
Low key, he can say some shit, Nick can cook him real quick. They were like, you know what? We know you did that shit with Candace Owen and didn't get no traction, right?
Yeah, that ain't really moved the needle. He ain't got no new fans from it.
Man, nobody even talked about that shit, man.
She done. I done seen some people being like, oh, that's what she about? Like, oh, she all right. I'm like, y'all don't know nothing. Y'all don't know the half.
Yeah, but, you know, Joe did that shit to shake the building, you know, and, like, nobody even budged, you know.
Yeah. I know he was on the par laughing because niggas was cooking his outfit. They like, I think Ish said niggas was saying he looked like Inspector Clouseau or some shit, you know. they was frying that shit, you know. It was a crazy get up, you know. I was like, why don't you just look relaxed? Like, what the fuck you got on that outfit for, you know? Look like he about to solve some shit from like the 19th century, you know?
I was partying off that kid Neon this week. You know, you seen that shit?
Mm-mm. What's this about?
You know, the streaming Neon. I think he's on that shit Kick or whatever.
New York Kick.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you know, he been doing a whole bunch of shit. I think he got locked up in like Taiwan or some shit. You know, trying to troll, and they were like, "No, we ain't having that here." And they locked his ass up for like a month or some shit, or whatever. But
he a line stepper,
and then he got kicked off a Kick for saying something. It might have been anti-Semitic or some shit like that. So he was, you know, about to cry and apologize for that shit. But they call his ass out in traffic in New York, you know, and it's this like Bronx drill rapper named D.D. Osama, right? And his brother was named Nadi Osama or whatever, and he got like stabbed to death in a train station a couple of years ago, and it's another Bronx drill rapper he was beefing with or whatever, and he started this shit called the Nadi challenge or whatever, and a lot of people been doing this shit like on TikTok or whatever, not even know what the fuck it was and shit, man. It's kind of like you do this like a little bop from left to right where you like punch yourself in the chest, but it's actually just like them bringing out to him getting stabbed to death and shit, man. So this motherfucking Neon was doing this shit on stream and shit, man. Oh yeah, man, do the Nadi challenge, y'all. Like, man, fuck them and fuck all the ops and shit, man. You know, I'm spinning the block, da 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 da, man. They caught that nigga, man. He was talking to this nigga like a little kid. He was patting him on his head. He made him apologize to his mother, his sister, his fans, his uncle, his cousins. And, yeah, man, like, the kid Neon, he's always going around with his motherfucking security and shit.
Mm-hmm.
A big-ass black nigga and shit, man.
Man, dude was scared as shit, dude.
He was in the midst of them damn wolves, young. So
yeah.
He had that nigga, this nigga named Slow Bucks, with him and shit. Dee Dee did and shit. And all of these, like, New York fucking wolves and shit, man. That security guard didn't want nothing. He was like, man, tell your security guard to move to the side, man. And then, like, before he even said anything, that nigga moved the fuck to the side. Like, nah, dog. Like, it's too many of these niggas, dog. Like, you pay me, but I value my life, you know? I'm like, yeah, man, it's going to take one of these little motherfuckers getting cracked upside the head. And, like, that could have ended way bad then, but it was way too many eyes on him and shit, man. You know, I'm sure he knew.
The one part about that joint that y'all fucked me up a little bit was it seemed like Neon, and maybe I was reading it completely wrong, you know, and dude kept saying, like, bro, you're not even, like, paying attention to what I'm saying right now. And, like, Neon's, I'm sorry, bro, sorry, bro, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just really, and I'm like, is this part of his act, too? Like, is he?
Nah, he was scared, yeah. He was looking at that camera saying, if this nigga sleeps me on this fucking stream, yeah, he going to jail and shit, young, but this gonna really be a bad look for me, young. He was scared, though. He kept on looking to the fucking camera almost like it was, like, you know, like a skit or some shit, young, but he was like, that's all they worried about is how they appear in terms of content.
Sure.
That's gonna make it to the internet and shit.
Right.
He was frightened for himself, but he was frightened for his image as well, dog.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's all that was, you know. But that kid is like, he is top five annoying, though, you know. Like,
yeah, man, but apparently annoying is,
yeah.
When I'm finding out, man, like these vlog streamers or whatever like that, the more annoying, the better, you know.
Well, I mean, it's because of the money they make, you know. Like, I had no idea that they made that much money, but, you know. Like, I think, like, Act broke that shit down. It was like, so, you know, the top episode of First Take this year had, like, you know, like 450,000, you know, eyes on it and shit, man, views or whatever. Aiden might do, like, you know, a quarter of that and shit, man. But he streams for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, though. So the ad money he gets is just insane. The nigga got, I'm not sure if y'all saw, man, he got worked by Playboy Cardi. He promised this motherfucker $2 million, $1 million up front, and $1 million after he showed up to his live stream and shit for an hour, you know. So before Cardi even made it to this nigga's house, dog, it was a half a million people on that live. Cardi pops up, stays there for 10 minutes, doesn't say a word, just has his fucking security count the money and shit, and then they roll out. So, he got cooked. He was mad because he got played and shit, man, but the amount of money he made off that stream, though, dog, like, it justifies this shit, young. So, Cardi worked him and shit, man, but he still made money, though, young. Like, that's the type of shit going on these motherfucking streams, young. Type of eyes on this shit. And advertisers don't give a fuck how they get the motherfucking views and shit. Like, dog, that much traction, young? Like, we want in.
Yep.
Half a million people watching before a nigga even show up is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, these niggas like to keep on having these eyes on them. Is keep on upping the ante on the crazy ass antics and shit, man. So, tease with the tease. Alright, anything else going on?
Hold on, I got some outrage in. Hold on, I'm gonna play this this news clip. It's one of these type of stories where it's like across the board people are outraged at this, you know? So I'm just gonna play the whole thing, you know, from beginning to end.
You understand? understand how this day ended.
We need the police right away.
With multiple 911 calls and arrests. We have to start at the beginning.
Adele, the hardest question is how do you say your name?
We met Adele Andaloro outside the home her parents left her in Flushing, Queens. She's in the process of selling it.
No, he left it.
But she's been locked out. She claims squatters moved in on February 6th and refused to leave.
What's it like being here knowing you can't go inside of your own home?
It's enraging. It really is.
In New York, squatters have rights after 30 days.
By the time that someone does their investigation and they do their work and their job, we'll be well over the 30 days, and this man will have stolen my home. And now she's back.
Just after wrapping up our interview, a woman showed up.
What are you doing in the house? Are you renting this house? Why are you here?
She unlocked the front door, saw our cameras, and took off.
It's open. Let's go in the house. It's open.
Adele and her daughter, with the property deed in hand, went inside.
This is my furniture. These are my curtains.
She didn't just find her belongings inside.
There's a man sleeping right there. Get out of my house.
She found two men.
How long have you lived here?
I moved in about 2 days ago.
They've called the police on me, and I've called the locksmith. I didn't come in illegally. The door was open.
Police started interviewing neighbors and looking for documents.
Do you have something that shows that you've been here for 30 days?
They took the man who told me he had been renting for 2 days out in handcuffs.
They got one out.
And escorted the other guy off the property.
Now you're afraid to come out.
I'm not coming out. This house is empty. This is my home. My locksmith is on the corner waiting to change my locks. And it's not fair. It's not fair that I, as the homeowner, should be having to go through this.
How you doing?
Minutes later, a locksmith showed up. But police gave her a warning before they left.
I may end up in handcuffs today if this man shows up here and says that I have illegally evicted him. I said to them, let him take me to court the way I've been told to take him to court. But today, I'm not leaving my house.
Less than 10 minutes after police left and the locks were changed. The man who claims to be the one actually leasing the house shows up.
Call the police again.
With the other guy, police took off the property.
Do you see this? This guy just literally broke down my door. Broke through myself and my daughter to get in here. This guy just forced himself into my house.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
And so did you.
Yeah.
You broke through the front door.
Officer.
The man called the police on her.
So why is it that I have to leave and he doesn't have to leave?
Because technically he can't be kicked out. You need to go to court.
They consider this a landlord-tenant issue. And by law, it has to be handled through the housing court, not with police.
If you own this house, you would not want her inside.
I don't own the house. I don't own this house.
Exactly. Yes. She does.
Yes. But then once again, you should know how the law works.
I do know how it works.
There's rules to the as you got to go to court and send me to civil court.
He says he signed a lease in October, but wouldn't tell us with who.
I got proof longer than that.
Show us the proof.
Who are you for me to show? I showed it to cops.
Dan with Channel 7 News. If you don't want to show it, you don't want to show it.
Cool. Come here, brother. I like Dan.
I would like to see it.
He didn't show me a lease.
This is a bill.
A bill for work he says he had done to the house. He didn't show police a lease either.
The police department doesn't have the lease?
No.
He's got no documentation.
Just bills.
So, Adele, you're getting arrested right now?
Being arrested.
For what?
For being in my own home.
And where's your lease?
She's fighting the house. It's not her house anymore.
My deed is current and legal.
Arrested for unlawful eviction. She changed the locks on a man who claims he lives there.
So how does this all end then? When do you leave?
The way it ends is either she pays me my money that I put into the house, pay me the money, and I'll leave, or send me to court, and we deal with the judge in court. It's that simple.
Kenny, man. I'm following the story, dog. It's so infuriating, yeah.
You're familiar with this?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Flushing, Queens.
Mm-hmm. That's a very nice neighborhood in Queens, too, yeah. Dog, mm-hmm. The problem is these renter laws have been so old and shit and never updated that criminals, just like what they do with everything and shit, have found loopholes in these fucking laws and shit. And then they've been around so long, people are like, well, that's the law, we can't change it. Yes, the fuck you can.
Yes, the fuck you can, yeah.
It's like fucking like I just read something today, man. New York, especially as a sanctuary state, is going through, like, you know, this big problem with immigration shit and the New York Act for All or whatever, man. They about to change that shit, young. Eric Adams tired of that, man. Texas tired of that shit, dog. Like, yes, the fuck you can change this shit, man. It's not okay to say, well, that's just the way it is. We can't change it. Because shit like that, dog, like, man, I was saying, for this law to change, it's going to take a nice neighborhood like something in Flushing, Queens, or something in Brooklyn or whatever, where somebody has a brownstone, somebody occupies it and shit. And somebody comes in there and lets that thing go, and somebody's innocent motherfucking bystander, cousin, uncle, sister, kid, is going to get hit by something, and they're going to say, well, we got to take this shit serious and change it now, you know? But while it's just affecting middle class people or whatever, who ain't nobody, and oh well, it's the law just like that, they don't give a fuck. But somebody's going to start caring, because somebody's going to go the fuck off when they find somebody on their damn property who said they ain't going to leave.
Tony, I went through that shit. That's why it hit home for me, you know?
Yeah.
I had to go to fucking court to get somebody out the house my grandfather built, nigga. That ain't paid no money. I don't even know this fucking person. But you can't just tell them to get the fuck off your property. You have to go through an eviction. I do not know who this person, these persons are. You can't, the law, you can't just do that. So they just live in your shit until you get a court date. This lady got arrested, dog. It's her house. She does not know this person. But you're telling me because the police can't determine whether or not her deed is good or not, or whether or not this person actually does have an agreement. They can't show no paperwork, no nothing. But people will say, well, the police can't determine that. That has to be determined by a judge. You know what? That needs to change then. There needs to be somebody that should be able to come out to that house that day and say, yeah, this person does not have a rental agreement. You got to get the fuck off the property. If you don't leave willingly, the police will escort you off. But until then, she's getting arrested for changing the locks on her fucking house on somebody who don't live there.
Don't pay no rent.
She does not know this person.
Don't have no.
It's a complete fucking stranger.
Nigga said he had some paperwork, young, and couldn't produce it.
Dog, this dude just barged up in the house. The locksmith left. Like, they got everything on tape. Yep. He knew, because he knew that once she closed that door, he wouldn't get back in that house. So he literally forced himself into the house. And it's like, yeah, I'm not leaving until she pays me back. He called the police on her. I mean, what? This, you know, this is fucking crazy.
Without producing a fucking document.
Fucking document. Not one. And who knows how long it's going to take for this to get back to court. He could be in the house a whole nother year. Who knows?
Yep.
But like you said, shit like this won't get changed until it impacts somebody, like you said, you know?
Yeah.
And that's my biggest problem with local politics, man. People make all these fucking promises, you know, about what they're going to do when they get in office. And then shit like this just goes on and nobody does, well, that's too bad, you know?
It's a lot of, horror stories about this shit that happened during COVID, because you couldn't even get the fucking out. You couldn't even get a court date, yeah? Yeah.
Think of all the people who just stopped paying their rent.
Yeah.
And probably ain't started paying it back since. I know it was recently, it was like 6 months ago, I was still reading stories in, you know what I'm saying, on Apple News about landlords saying like, yeah, I still ain't been paying rent from the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on a court date to pick somebody out of my apartment who ain't paid rent in 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. much of a fucking bum do you have to be, you know, to like wake up and be like, yeah, I'm just going to find any way I can to just circumvent the law so I can just squat my bum ass in somebody's house?
Hey, man, you got criminals and opportunists everywhere, man.
But then, goddamn, be bold enough to do like, nigga, he called, like, no, he called the police on her.
Right. You know the law, dog. A good criminal, man, knows the law, yeah. Like I said, they found cracks in this shit, man. And what, like, as a taxpaying citizen, I'm electing you to fill those cracks and make sure that this dumb shit doesn't happen to me. Like, you're a public servant. Like, what are you doing for me then?
Right.
All right, my last point of outrage goes to an old, like, content creator who's trying to make his old ass way onto YouTube now for the past couple of years. Sub-Zero DVD, if you guys remember that from back in the day. It's kind of around the same time as Smack, and it preceded World Star as, like, you know, urban news. It was really just like a whole bunch of interviews and shit, and they did like some battle rap shit. So Sub-Zero has like a live show now that he has people call into or whatever, man. And I watched it a little bit, like, you know, early 2020, but it was just old man shaking his fist, and everything is the white man's fault. Everything is blamed on Zionists and shit. Sub is from Harlem, so that's where, like, the first chink in the armor started, because it's a whole bunch of niggas white, mad at white people on YouTube. That ain't nothing new. But the way this nigga celebrates Alpo, you know, like, he like, genuinely loves nigga. My nigga Po used to come out, give everybody 25 cent juices. Mm-hmm. You know, come out there to the basketball court and say, hey, youngin', come over here, man. You see this coat I got, man? You can go up to uptown, get you one just like this. Do what I do. Just the niggas always celebrating these old fucking poison in the community, rat-filled criminals, young. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I like some ignorant shit, but I can't deal with this, young. This nigga just like stuck in the 90s ass nigga, young. So, he really went overboard when, like, you know, after Alpo died, he really was like making this nigga into a martyr or some shit. But then he shit on K-Slay when he even said himself, he went to jail, and when he got out, K-Slay gave him some money and helped him get back on track and shit. As soon as K-Slay died, young, he started doing live streams about this nigga was a snitch. Like, just no honor, young. You mad at everybody, it's no honor. Like, what the fuck do you stand for, young? So, night before last, there was a report, well, he went live on his show, and the shit went viral right away and shit. He had good, had on good authority that Loaded Lux, the battle rapper, has passed away. He died in D.C. So, Saturday night going into Sunday morning and shit, man, I was out until like 3 o'clock or whatever. I got home, and then the next morning, the first thing I saw was, like, not too far from, like, my neighborhood on, like, 9th or 7th and P and shit. Two people got killed, like, a dude named Anthony Brown and a dude named, I think his brother's name is, J-Lux, whatever. So, Lux, you know, is you know, battle rap name is spelled L-U-X, but his real name is Lux, it's spelled L-U-C-K-S or whatever, man. So, it was actually his brother, you know, unfortunately, who got shot and killed on P Street Saturday night. So He went live with the shit. Niggas came in during his stream. Was like, nah, man, Lux is alive. And he, like, he just Cuban beat that shit, man. Then, like, niggas, like, you know, from Harlem. Because, like, this nigga's from Harlem. And so is Lux, man. So it's like, dog, you say you a real street nigga. You got word from the street or whatever. Like, every other Harlem nigga connected to the streets and shit was like, nah, it wasn't Lux. It was his brother. This nigga doubled down, tripled down. What's my man? Onkasa from Dipset went live. He like grew up in the same building as Lux. Like, nah, man, that nigga Lux is alive, man. But his brothers, they like, well, make him go live then. Make him go live then. Like, this nigga brother just died, you know? You wanna go live, like, so you can like have your point or your like untruth rebuke debunked and shit, man. Like, get the fuck out of here. But as it turns out, the backstory is back in the days, like Smack DVD was like one of the original like battle rap leagues before it became URL. But there was some other shit called Lion's Den that Lux started, and he got Sub-Zero to like, you know, film some of the content, like, you know, film the battles or whatever. And so they had a fallout. This is like 20 years ago. This nigga been salty for 20 years and been looking for some damn get back and shit, man. And he finally saw an angle that he could, like, you know, make some money off of and shit, man. So, niggas done disproved this shit. Lux done went live. Like, last I saw, he still had to fucking stream up and shit, man. And they're like, yeah, I hope he enjoy his little motherfucking 5-10,000 views and shit, young. Because, like, niggas are really upset about this. Like, man, he's from Harlem and he shit on one of, like, the fucking stars of fucking Harlem battle rap and just like hip hop in general over the past like 15-20 years, young, for some views, young. Like, they do anything for views. I'm just to the point now, like, yeah, dog, I can't be out here talking about these youngins when these old niggas are acting worse. Like, that's what we doing now? Putting death on niggas' jacket, y'all? It's disgusting. See, y'all. I don't know. Charlamagne need to bring that motherfucking donkey a day out for this shit, y'all. Like, it's pathetic, y'all. Pathetic. Yeah, so. Rest in peace to Lux brother too, man. Like, just heartbreaking. I think kid was, kid. That man was 32 years old, the youngest of all the children in his family. Man, lived in Baltimore. Was just in DC for the weekend with his man and shit, man. And like, it's footage of it. It's fucking kids running down the fucking street and shit, man. It's like 3 a.m. in the morning, man. Just wrong place, wrong time, apparently. Dog, like, if these computers don't kill us, we're gonna kill ourselves with computers by, you know, just clout chasing, looking for the next upload and the next fucking like set of views and set of eyes on some shit we doing. Like, it's, where's the line, you know? Especially for real niggas. Where's the line for real niggas?
I got one more thing here. Mm-hmm. I saw this earlier on Twitter. This dude, he posted it on Twitter. I think he originally posted it on Reddit, but it's basically like a picture of a receipt from a restaurant.
Okay.
And he was saying restaurants are now lying about what percentages under the suggested tip. If I ever see lying like this, the tip will be 0%. For those bad at math, 15% of $20 is $3, not $5.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
So, the amount of bill was $20.05. And they say suggested tip, they got the numbers 15, 18, 20. But under 15%, they got $5. Yeah, 15% of $20 is, like you said, $3. So now, you know, there's some people who just look at it. They don't bother to take out their phone, take out their calculator, whatever. They just like, okay, I'm just going to trust that this number on here, without even thinking about it sometimes, is what it says it is. But now you got to check that too. So just a heads up, just a warning.
So now I got to pull that tip calculator regardless, Sean?
Regardless.
Do anything for views, they do anything for tips, Sean.
And they said 18% is 602. Now, again, if you're looking at this and you're thinking about it, you're like, yeah, there's no way that's fucking right. But then again, a lot of times you're not even thinking about it.
Right. They're probably like, yeah, man. He fools a tick, he liquored up, man. They ain't gonna notice this shit.
Mm-hmm. They say 20% is 669. 20% of $20 is $4.
Yep.
So again, just, you know.
Yep.
I hope in our lifetime we just finally get past all this tipping shit, you know?
So can you ask me what the tipping point is?
Yeah, the tipping point. Yeah.
Alright. Let's end this on a good note. I forgot one more anecdote from the dinner party, right? Mm-hmm. So, after I clear up the whole thing about this ain't a fucking, you know, a cult, it's mm-hmm. not an MLM and shit, right? Mm-hmm. This one girl walks up to Rome and was like, hey, I know you. He was like, well, you went to Howard? She's like, yeah, but I know you because you always posting pictures on Instagram with somebody I know from my childhood. And he was like, who? She was like, Marcus. And he said, oh, for real? She's like, yeah, I've known him since we were 5 years old. Like, ooh. we went to elementary school together, and I saw him on campus when I got to Howard, because I remember two things about him. He was always mad and he never tucked in his shirt. Say my legs got weak, young. Hey, so then this nigga Rome said, yeah, ain't much changed.
That's crazy as shit. Somebody is saying, yeah, it's two things I remember about you.
She said he was always angry and he never tucked in his shirt, yeah. Womp, womp, womp.
Hey, I just had to go on mute. You almost coughed up a lung, you know. Nah, no bullshit. Hey, that's fucking crazy, you know.
Fucking crazy.
I would want to know, you know, like if people that I know from my childhood and I ain't seen in a minute, you know. And they say, like, yeah, I remember Ken. These two things I remember about him. Like, damn, that's the two things you remember about me, Joe? I was always angry and I ain't never tucking my shirt, you know.
Anger and unkemptness,
yeah. Come on, man.
Oh man. Hey, yeah. It was a curb weekend, yeah.
Yes, no doubt a curb weekend, yeah. Good God Almighty, that's good.
Oh man.
Man, that's good.
Yeah, real good, yeah. I was waiting to break that out when I saw him this weekend. But if he hit a podcast, yeah.
May well.
Either or. All right. I'm tired, and I got to go to work tomorrow. So
okay.
Let's hit those next week. Well, I'll let you guys know whether I can go next week or not. Got the family coming in town, so.
Real quick. I did want to read that email because I actually told this dude to send us an email.
Okay.
Because he asked us a question on Twitter. I said, that's a question for Tone. So I'm going to read this real quick. It's from Creole Kid, Tourism in D.C. He said, what's good, fellas? Long time listening, supporter. No thanks for report, but y'all seem like y'all know your way around the D.C. scene. My wife and I in our mid-30s and like to turn up on vacation. Any thoughts on restaurants, brunches, nightlife, and local attractions? K-Bab with Nashville to the Museum of African American Music. Great recommendation. Also, she is a Chicago native, so we get to settle if it's mild sauce or mumbo sauce. Also, what is a local food associated with D.C.? Thanks for all your hard work over the years. The park has been a staple of my weekly entertainment. For me, Kenny, my wife, lost 30 pounds due to your recommendation. Thanks again. That's great to hear, bro.
Sorry for
the long email.
Yeah, so, like, next week I've already booked, like, a session to take my sister, my sisters to the African American History Museum. So, yeah, it's pretty easy to get tickets now. You know, when that shit first opened up, that shit was like, you know, getting tickets to the motherfucking Met, yeah.
It's damn impossible, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot easier now. So as long as you, I think you can book as early as 30 days out and shit. So pretty much three and a half weeks or whatever. I advise you to go and pick a session, like, you know, get in like around noon or whatever, because it's a huge museum. So suggest that. Some of the best brunches in town, Sequoia down in Georgetown. It's a really good brunch. If you want to turn up, probably the park on 14th Street. Like, they have a brunch and then they have like a day party afterwards. It's a couple like other restaurants and stuff around there, so you can kind of explore. If you want to come down to U Street, you know, he said he's in his 30s or whatever, like, you know, gotta plug my folks spot, District Alley, you know. Mm-hmm. It's on U Street, but it's a little bit more of a grown-up like you know, atmosphere, even though like it'd be youngins in there too, man. But it's just like, you're not going to like experience that element of like not feeling safe. And depending on when you come, in the next maybe 2 months, they're going to open up their second location on 8th Street. They're actually in renovation right now for that. And yeah, those are like my hit 'em up spots or whatever. If you like cigars, down on 9th Street, TG Cigars, they just like renovated their cigar space to the spot next door, so it's like right on 9th Street. TG Cigars across street from the convention center. That's a nice area. And yeah, then, like, you know, the Wharf is also a good place down southwest, where there are a lot of restaurants and stuff you want to eat, like, you know, on the water. They have like a Gordon Ramsay restaurant down there, and like a I think a Marcus Samuelson restaurant or whatever. So, you know, I would say the Wharf, U Street, in like downtown in the 14th Street corridor, or a whole bunch of places that you might be, you know, interested in. And again, for brunch, my favorite brunch is still Sequoia. All you can eat, and unlimited mimosas and frozes. down there by the water in Georgetown. So that'd be my quick take on that.
I would also say, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. venturing out a little bit, hitting up the National Harbor. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite spots in the area, the Walrus, Oyster and Ale House down there. Good lunch, dinner. I think they have brunch on the weekends too. And Founding Fishers. It's right down in Georgetown, right by Sequoia.
Yeah. They have a brunch too. Farmers, too. Bakers, and Fishers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nope.
Yep. Yeah. Definitely a good brunch there as well.
Yep. All right. We'll get to the rest of the emails next week.
All right. All right, fellas, let's get some shots and get that out here. KB.
Yeah, man, as always, thanks for everybody listening to the show. Much appreciated. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at KBADS, that's KBADDS, and at Hot Five Starter. Questions, comments, send them to hotfivestarter@gmail.com. If you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/hotfivestarter. And if you want to know about the diet, like everybody is on it, everybody losing tons of weight on it, it's on my Twitter bio. So click that link. Get all the information about it. And see you next week.
All right, bye.
I think he had to step off.
Okay. All right, well, appreciate you guys for listening. Hopefully I'll be able to come on next week, but I'll let you guys know. If not, we'll holler at you the week after, man. It's FS Podcast, and we out.